please note that assistive listening devices that can be used for the council chamber are available on request from the staff in the clerk's office or off to my immediate right. Please ensure that all cell phones are turned off or placed on silent. I will ask Councillor Innes to start the meeting with a prayer and then join us in the national anthem.
Grant us, O Lord, perception and patience that justice, truth, and honesty may be evident in our planning and our governing. Make us aware of the needs of each part of this town of Caledon. Save us from parochialism that divides and so create in us a desire for progress and responsible action that all our words and deeds may be in accord with thy will to the glory of the holy name. Amen.
Are there any members of council that have disclosed any pecuniary interest concerning tonight? If not, Councillor Innes.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I wish to close a potential pecuniary interest with regards to correspondence from Ms. Mira Budd. My father's family farm is adjacent to the subject property in discussion with that correspondence.
Okay, thank you. And Councillor Befford, welcome back. Good to see you. Before we approve the agenda, is to note that the delegation of John Rutter, scheduled for this evening, has been withdrawn. Confirmation of minutes, moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Misapelli, that the council meeting minutes of March the 7th, 2017 be approved. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. A question about minutes. Can minutes ever be divided out? Because sometimes us as councillors don't want to approve all the minutes. We only want to approve a portion of the minutes. Is that even possible?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Well, that answers that answers that one off emphatically. Thank you very much. Okay, then I'm going to say that I won't be supporting the minutes, and I'd like to have it noted in future minutes that I didn't support it. Unfortunately, I've heard loud and clear from my community. They have not been happy with, sorry, no offense to Mr. CAO, but they haven't been happy with the raise. And I wasn't in full attendance at that meeting, so I'm going to have to say I don't support the minutes. So if the record could show, that would be great.
Well, the only way the record could show, Councillor Shaughnessy, is if you could call for a recorded vote, and then that way you can show in the minutes. I would recommend that to keep it clear.
I like that idea, too. That's great. Then we'll call a recorded vote then on the minutes, and thank you.
Okay. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. And on that, I just need some clarification because I know that a couple of us at the table did not support the recommendation. So how do we do that? You can't separate. I have no idea.
A lot of times we don't vote in favor of a motion that we don't support.
Once it's
a council decision, it's a council's decision. So now you got to support the council decision. If you still don't want to, my advice to you then is don't support the minutes.
That was what I'm asking. Yeah. So is that
yes,
what we're
that's
doing?
Why I recommend that you vote the way you think you should in the recorded vote.
Thank you. But then there are the things in the minutes that I support. So how does that work?
Well, it's all a council decision. Is the majority of the vote is what's carried forward. I can, if you want clarification, I can ask the clerk to clarify.
So through the mayor to Councillor Groves, as you're aware, the minutes, when you are adopting the minutes, are just a matter of receiving the minutes. It's not you're not actually voting on any of the decisions that have been made in the council. Those have already been done. So, in my opinion, by voting on the minutes, you're not showing your support or not support for a certain item because that final decision has already been made.
All right. Okay, I'll now pass it over to the clerk for a recorded vote.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote has been asked for the minutes. All those in favor, please stand. See Councillor Mezzapelli, Councillor Innes, Councillor McClure, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Beffert, welcome back. Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer, Councillor Groves, all those opposed. Councillor Shaughnessy, the motion carries.
Is there any urgent business at this point in time of the council meeting? If not, I will now move on to our committee recommendations. Following committee recommendations, the committee report dated March 21st, 2017, moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor DeBoer. That March 21st, 2017 general committee report recommendations regarding the following consent items be adopted. Staff report 2017-30 land tax appropriations. Can't even say that tonight. Staff report 2017 assessment appeals. Staff report 2017-39 accessibility of the Cheltenham Badlands. Staff report 2017-45 request for support for manufacturers limit liquor sales license for Badlands Brewing Company. Staff report 2017-31 tax collector role adjustments made under section 254, 257 and 258 of the Municipal Act 2001. Staff report 2017-16 and 2017 property tax ratios. Staff report 2017-33, annual treasurer statement on development charge reserve funds as of December 31st, 2016. Staff report 2017-40, audited reserves and reserve fund balances for 2016. Staff report 2017-37, 2016, lease financing agreement and summary report. Staff report 2017-44, 2016 year-end operating budget variance report. Staff report 2017-41, 2016 treasurer's investment report 2016. Accessibility advisory committee report dated February 13th, 2017. Accessibility advisory committee report dated February 23rd, 2017. Town of Caledon Golf Tournament Committee Report, February 21st, 2017. 2016 Caledon Community Council Golf Tournament Committee Secondary Grant Disbursements. Artificial Turf Sports Field for Johnson Sports Park. Confidential Staff Report 2017-2. Proposed pending acquisition and disposition of land of the municipality or local board for expropriation of land Simpson Road Ward 5. Confidential report 2017-6. Personal matters about identifiable individual, including municipal local board employees, 2017 community recognition night award selection. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Innes, that March 21st, 2017 General Committee report recommendations regarding the following matters be adopted. Staff report 2017-43, review of feasibility in implementing an urban tree bylaw within the town of Caledon. Staff Report 2017-46, Connect to Innovate Funding Application Partnership. Staff Report 2017-47, Kennedy Road Rehabilitation from Old Baseline to King Street. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Innes, that March 21st, 2017 General Committee Report Recommendation regarding notices of motion be adopted. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor McClure, that the March 21st, 2017 Planning and Development Committee report be received. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Innes, that March 21st, 2017 Planning and Development report recommendations regarding the following consent items be adopted. That's okay. It's got an attitude of its own. Staff Report 2017-38, Proposed Draft Plan Subdivision and Zoning Bylaw Amendment Applications, Flatow Palgrave Mansions, 0 Mount Pleasant Road, Parts Lot 25, Concession 9, Ward 4. And Staff Report 2017-18, Proposed Heritage Design for 715 Bush Street, Ward 1. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Innes, seconded by Councillor DeBoer, that March 21st, 2017 Planning and Development Committee report recommendations regarding the following matters be adopted. Confidential Report 2017-4, Advice on Subject to Solicitor Client Privilege Litigation, including matters be it administrative tribunals affecting municipality appeal options for Committee of Adjustment Decision A 056-16, 0 Queen Street, Alton Ward 1. And Confidential Staff Report 2017-5, Advice on Subject Solicitor Privilege Litigation, including matters before administrative tribunals affecting the municipality. Appeal options for Committee of Adjustment Decision A 042-16, 26 Wright Crescent, Caledon, Ward 5. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Downey, that March 21st, 2017 Planning and Development Committee report recommendation regarding Staff Report 2017-7, formation of a working group aggregate related matters be adopted. All in favor? Okay. Sorry, guys, we have an amendment. Moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, seconded by Councillor Groves, that paragraph 1 be amended to read, staff be directed to form a working group regarding mineral aggregate strip mining related to matters the region appeal and the town of Caledon may address their official plan review, and the following paragraphs be added, that the terms of reference incorporated topics contained town of Caledon official plan policies 511-29-2 and 5-11-2-9-3, and that the council requests a working group prepare a working plan including aggregate recycling, comprehensive rehabilitation, and other matters including strip mining in Caledon, and the working group be comprised of a diverse group of knowledgeable residents and stakeholders and industry and government officials, and that the working group progress report back to council at a quarterly agenda. Via agenda memo. Sorry. Okay, so we've got it up here for everybody to read. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Yes, obviously I had lots to say at the last council meeting, that I didn't find that the report had clarity. I didn't think it had substance. And I had sent it out to my residents who are involved in aggregate, and they were very upset by the report and didn't support it. So I went back and I thought, how do I try and make something work? So let me clarify each paragraph if I could. What was recommended in the report was actually to form a working group that had to do with the official town official plan and the region's official plan. Yet the simple one line that we were all going to vote on was strictly that staff be directed to form a working group regarding aggregate and related matters. Well, aggregate is an unusual word, that it doesn't always mean mineral aggregates. It could be an aggregate of numbers. It could be an aggregate of many things. So I thought it was very nonspecific, and I think Ward 1, being the aggregate capital of Caledon, deserves something that was a little more substantial. So the first paragraph I added in the Region of Peel and Town of Caledon may address in their official plan review, which is what the report it was actually asking for, but wasn't part of the original motion. And then I had in there that the terms of reference incorporate the topics contained in Town of Caledon official plan policies 5.1, 11.2, 0.9, 0.2, and 5.11, 0.2, 0.9, 0.3. And the reason for that is that this these policies took 9 years to negotiate at a cost of about $2 million to the taxpayers, and it was also approved at the OMB, and I don't think it's something that we can just skirt on by. The next paragraph for my council members to understand why it was added in is that that these are complex issues. And aggregate recycling is one of them. Comprehensive rehabilitation is new to the PBS. And then I said other matters of current importance related to strip mining in Caledon. The reason I say that is that the four plan review has not been completed, so we don't actually know what those items are going to be. So the matters of current importance related to strip mining was merely a catch-all to catch whatever the four plan review might tell us to do. Then the next paragraph, that the working group be comprised of a diverse group of knowledgeable residents, stakeholders, industry, and government officials, is because it's a complicated issue. And it's certainly not an issue that many people want to become involved in, should become involved in. And there are so many different issues from the recycling to hauling to truck weights, to how are we going to rehabilitate it, to influence and social impact, et cetera. They're complicated. So I wanted to make sure that when we go out to advertise, that we make sure that we get people who have knowledge of the industry, not somebody who just wants to be part of a working group. So it's a broad range of issues. And then the last paragraph, that the working group's progress be reported back to council quarterly via agenda memo, is strictly that reporting to council will provide council with much needed information, and they'll get it in a timely fashion. It's a little bit of an education process for council at the same time. And that citizens need to know that their input is reaching council as opposed to getting lost in a bureaucracy. So they don't want their information to be melted down or watered down. They want their information to get to council. I talked to some past SEAC members, and that was something that they were truly upset about. So this is why I think it's fairly clear. I'm trying to support staff in what they were trying to do, but my Ward 1, deserved something that was more comprehensive and a lot more substantial. On the other note, I haven't given up on an aggregate advisory committee. I'm sure this group will come back with their thoughts on that. And just a little piece of information to council, and I have to thank the mayor. He wasn't able to go to TAPMO, and I was able to go on his behalf. and it was a wonderful experience. But I asked Susan Foxworth, I'm terrible on names, but she's the mayor of North Dumfries, and she's head of the TAPMO. And I asked her about her aggregate advisory committee and what she thought of its performance. And she said it was outstanding, that it was something that they couldn't do without in their municipality. So I'm looking forward to the future of having that. But for now, I'll take this as a stopgap. So I'll leave it open to anybody who might have questions on, and go ahead. Thank you very much for your time.
Councillor Befford.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. It's good to be back in the chair again. Because I knew this item was coming forward, I did a few things and went through the official plan. And the good news is that since 2003, we've been waiting for this to happen, and that is to have a working group, committee, whatever. I don't care what we call it at the moment. It's good news that we're putting a group together to work with the aggregate industry because it is important in our ward. The other thing is I spoke with some members of the committee that were there originally and asked what the intent was of what is in the operating procedure. And the intent was to have our town work with the aggregate industry on a variety of issues. And I understand that a lot of those issues are not issues that we can control. They're issues that are provincial, but they're issues that are of extreme importance to our neighborhoods. For example, one of the issues that we've tried talking to them about, and it's not because they don't want to, is having some of our trucks routed through one another's property to get them off the road, particularly when you have a corner like in Caledon Village. And those are the kinds of things that we talk about, and we try to come up with a solution. And they do try to work with us. So I think it's great that we're having the working group. I guess my response to what's up there, I have no problem with what's being requested, other than I think it's premature. I think if the working group that we've, what I understand, I wasn't here at the last meeting, had approved, looks at the official plan, after the formation of the aggregate advisory committee or group, it goes through a variety of things that that group will do, and it uses the word will and shall. So I would think that the committee or the working group will take a look at those and will come back to us with exactly what's going to happen. And at that point, we can maybe bring in some of these points, which I'm sure, even by mentioning it tonight, are going to be on their radar. The other things that are going to be on their radar are exactly what's in the official plan. Why are we forming a working group if we're not going to adhere to what's in the official plan by these people that worked real hard in 2003? So as much as I think it's good stuff, some of it, I think it's premature, and I would like to wait and let the working group, which I'm happy to have, get started, come back to us with exactly what's going on, and so that we can then help tweak or help guide with what's going on. I think there are some clear issues that have to be understood by the group, and that is some residents have to be involved, some experts have to be involved, the industry has to be involved, and then we have to decide what issues can we talk about, because some of them are provincial and we can't do much about them. I guess the big thing is the perception from the people in Ward 1 or any other ward that have gravel industries, and that is, you know, how much are we gaining when we go through this? When we all got together and have had people come in and talk about what was going to happen when we presented to the ARS, we got excited about all the things that we wanted. Well, you know what happened? We didn't get very many of them, if any of them. And I think that's the perception that's important here. The working group knows that. If they come together and come back to us with a plan of attack, we may not need this. I just think it's a bit premature.
Okay. Okay, there's no further questions. I will call a vote. All in favor of the motion as amended? Amendment. A recorded vote, okay.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote has been called for the amendment. All those in favor, please stand. Councillor Shaughnessy, Councillor Mazzapelli, Councillor McClure, Councillor Groves, all those opposed? Councillor Innes, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Beffert, Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer, the motion fails.
Yeah. Okay, I'll call this. You want a recorded vote on this too, I'm sure?
Yes,
yes, yes, yes, I'm just making sure.
Okay, so the main motion, all those in favor, please stand. Councillor Mezzapelli, Councillor Innes, Councillor McClure, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Beffert, Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer, those opposed? Councillor Shaughnessy, Councillor Groves, the motion fails. Motion carries. Yes.
Okay, what's the next? Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor Downey, that March 23rd, 2017 Audit Committee Report Recommendation regarding 2016 audited financial statements be adopted. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Mezzapelli, second by Councillor Downey, that March 29th, 2017 Golf Tournament Committee Report Recommendation regarding the Council Committee Golf Tournament Primary Recipient be adopted. Recorded vote. Okay.
Thank you, Your Worship. Recorded vote's been called. All those in favor, please stand. Councillor Shaughnessy, I see you. Councillor Shaughnessy, Councillor Mezzapelli, Councillor Innes, Councillor McClure, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Beffert, Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer, and Councillor Groves. The motion carries unanimously.
Okay, so that is it for our recommendations from committee. We'll now move on to presentations. I will now call on Ms. Angela Parker, resident of the town of Caledon, to approach the podium to provide a presentation concerning open fire invoice. Please note, in accordance to the provincial bylaw or procedural bylaw, you are provided with 10 minutes for your delegation. And if there's any questions or clarification from the members of council, that's added over and above. So,
no problem. Good evening, Mayor, members of Council. My name is Angela Parker, and I'm here tonight to ask Council for your help in a matter of a fire we had at our home at 16085 here on Ontario Street in Caledon on July 24th, 2016. My husband had started a small chimenea fire at our home with my son to roast a few hot dogs and marshmallows. My husband had to go into the garage to get our roasting sticks, and when he returned, there was a fire that had started to spread. My husband tried to put it out with the bucket of water that we had beside our chimenea fire, but was unable to contain it as it had rapidly spread. He phoned 911 for the fire department's help. He stayed out there the whole time with the firefighters in shorts and work boots that would end up destroyed. I was distraught over what was going on. And I was told by numerous firefighters when I spoke to them, as well as the chief, that I had nothing to worry about in regards to being charged for this fire. We were not aware of any fire bans for the town of Caledon, as I've lived in Caledon for almost 5 years, and there are always signs up around the Four Corners in Caledon and in Inglewood, where we participate with our family a lot. So we didn't see any signs. We were definitely unaware that there was not a fire ban. My family and I struggle with finances. We are a family of seven, and I am unable to work due to illness. We are on assistance. This day had a very tragic outcome, as when the fire had spread, we had two dogs that were tied in the backyard. We had to put them into our garage to keep them safe, and they got into some fluids in our garage and passed away due to the fire. So we have suffered tremendously from this fire, and we're just asking for any mercy or any help you can do to help lower this or abolish this. And my husband and I are willing to do any community service within the community to help out as much as we can. So that's pretty much all I have to say.
Okay.
And That's it.
Okay. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation, and through you, Mr. Chair, to, I don't know if it's maybe the CAO that will answer. Do we have a policy in place? I mean, we've had people before us in the past, and I'm sure we're going to have more people. So do we have a policy that allows for maybe forgiveness of one or some leniency?
I'll turn that over to the CEO.
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor, to Councillor Groves. The council does have a bylaw, a burning permit bylaw. Ms. Tolette can go into a little bit more explanation if you so choose. In your question, though, specifically relates to whether there's forgiveness within the bylaw. There is not. It is really a black and white a bylaw that states that if you are burning during a burn ban, and usually the burn ban is middle of the summer, and for long periods of time during the summer, for very good reason, because it's dry, that these occurrences do happen, and the council policy, the council bylaw does very specifically stipulate the charges and the outcome in the event that someone is charged essentially with burning during a burn permit period.
Okay, thank you. And I know, I mean, I'm not sure if how we advertise, but I know that a lot of people sometimes are not aware of the ban, the period of that ban.
It's usually posted that, like, all over. I drive to and from Orangeville all the time, and it's usually posted stating that there's a fire ban.
And did you not see it? Okay.
I haven't seen one.
Okay. So my question then, Mr. Galloway, is that I understand the difficulty and the challenges, because certainly we've seen, especially we've had a dry summer, and fire can spread and all that very easily. But for folks who are truly experiencing financial hardship, is there some way that we could put something in the bylaw or add something in there?
Yes, through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Groves. Certainly, the finance department has always been very lenient with the payment of those types of bills. They've gone to the extent of having a payment plan set up. They've done that on a number of occasions, and if that was the wish of the delegate, I'm sure through Mr. Wong, he would be able to have the appropriate staff work with them to set up that type of payment plan. But as far as the bylaw being changed, certainly council, if they so choose, any bylaw, not just this specific one, and the majority of council feels that changes should be made to a bylaw, we can always write that staff report if directed by council.
Okay, thank you.
That there is no payment plan option available. We got the invoice, and if it wasn't paid within 30 days, it went right to collections, which it's sitting at right now and has sat at for the past 4 months.
Sure. Through you, Mr. Mayor, to the delegate. We certainly don't encourage payment plans, but I'm sitting here today telling
it's
you
that... It's an $8,000 bill.
Yes, no, I do realize that for the amount of vehicles and the scope of the fire, it was substantial. But what I'm indicating to you here today is that if that was an option, I would certainly ensure that Mr. Wong and his staff worked with you in the event you did want to set up a payment plan. I could commit that to you here today.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
And through you to the delegate, is that something that you would be able to do if we were to set up a payment plan?
If that's the only option I have, yes. I mean, I would really love if it could be lowered, but if that there's no way for that to happen, then yeah, I would definitely need a payment plan, because it's already at collections and it's affecting me every day.
Okay. Is there an opportunity to lower it? And I guess that's a decision of council. And I guess I'm just asking because $8,000 is a lot of money. I understand. I thought I heard you say that you're on assistance. I'm not sure who has $8,000 sitting around even through a payment plan. So I certainly feel for you. I don't have $8,000. I don't even have $3,000 sitting around that, you know, you can just pull it out of a hat. And because you are on financial assistance. I mean, I don't know how you're going to do that. So I have a hard time asking you to pay $8,000. And I understand that we've had to send our trucks out and the firefighters and that, but that's a lot of money. So I don't know what we do with it, and maybe the mayor can tell us what we do with this, but how do we put something forward to lower it? I don't know.
Okay. Well, first of all, I've got a full board here that I have to go through. Councillor DeBoer.
I know that we had a delegate, I think it was 6 or 8 months ago, come, and while I didn't support reducing that charge, enough councillors did. And I'm going to ask staff in that case, and I'm all about being consistent. If that's the decision that happened then, I think we need to be consistent in our approach. You know, whether I agree with the first one or not, but I think we do have to be consistent. So can staff remind us what happened at that date?
Ms. Tullin?
Thank you, Mayor Thompson and Councillor DeBoer. We reduced it by $400. The bill was approximately $1,600 and we reduced it by $400.
Okay. I'm willing to put, and I'll allow my colleagues to speak, but I'm willing to allow staff the latitude to look at the case and deal with it consistently with how they've dealt with other ones in the past, and if it makes sense to staff to implement a payment program with whatever the remainder is, I think that would be a motion that I would put on the floor. But allow staff to deal with this as a to deal with consistently with the ones in the past.
Councillor Befford?
Yes, I'd like you to explain, if you could. You made a comment about talking to the fire department officials, and you commented, I believe, that you were told that you wouldn't be charged for this. I'm wondering how that conversation came about, because that's not a usual conversation when someone's fighting a fire.
I knew just by being out and having all the fire trucks there that something was going to come out of it. And I was in tears. I was in hysterics, first of all. I was worried about, you know, we have a big forest there, too, and
right.
It was caught just in time. So I was panicking, and I spoke to several firefighters, and they said, don't worry. I said, am I going to be charged or invoiced for this? They said, no, you have nothing to worry about. I said, can you tell me who's in charge here at this moment? They said, the gentleman with the white hat. I went and spoke with him. I didn't catch his name because I was in such a panic. Apparently, he was the sergeant on site that day. And he had said, honestly, you have nothing to worry about. Don't worry. He was calming me down. He said, don't worry about it. So when my landlord got the invoice, I was in shock because I said, well, I was told there was nothing to worry about. And then when we went down to the fire department here in Caledon, they said it's out of their hands at this point, and they suggested we come speak to you.
Okay. So. Thank you for clarifying.
No problem.
Okay. Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you for coming and delegating. I take a very, I think it's important, the position that we take, and I didn't support the reduction of the previous one for one simple reason, is I think it's important for council to interject and make decisions on the policy that we apply equitably and fairly to all. The issue I have is that when we start picking them apart separately, and I would want very much to help you, believe me, I would. The risk and the precedent I fear that we're setting there is that I don't know how many invoices have been paid in full, that it would be well within their rights to come forward and say, well, I would like that as well. So I am extremely, and I regrettably share this with you, but I have to be fair and honest, that I don't support reducing it, because I think if we have a policy or a fee schedule that amounts to something that is a large number, then we need to address it in the policy, not after the fact, because then that opens up a can of worms that I don't think is a good idea. I fully do support staff working with you on a payment schedule, And I think that is a fair request of you and fair for us to provide. But I am, and I apologize for saying this, but it's how I feel. I can't support a reduction, and I haven't in all the ones that have come forward. And part of the reason for the penalty is to deter calls for the fire service where they're not, where they shouldn't be. And for every call that the fire department's out at, that means they're not available for a call that could have come in that same time. So we really want to urge people to follow the fire ban policies and regulations. So that is a position I take, with all due respect. Thank you.
Then may I ask that it be, you know, posted better, you know, signs around so people know? I mean, that's what I went by. I've lived in the Talakat town of Caledon for 5 years. Yeah. And I mean, that's what I've gone by.
Others may want to speak to this, but I certainly know that it will be posted very prominently on the website. And I'm not even sure if in the permit, it actually states that you must ensure that there's not a fire ban in place. And I do know that it's very prominently displayed on the website. And as a resident who may take that permit out at some point, I would know it's my absolute responsibility to make sure I have clearance, because it's like parking on the street when there's a winter parking ban in effect. Everything, all permits are taken off the table. And I feel horrible that you're in this position. I do. But I think the ability to have noticed that there is a fire ban in effect is prominently prominently displayed on the website. I don't know if staff want to comment on that, but I just offer that back to you again respectfully. Thank you.
Ms. Tollett.
Through Mayor Thompson, I was just going to add actually just what Councillor Mazzapelli had said. So it's up to the person who has the burn permit to actually call into the town to find out if there's a burn ban or not. It's advertised on the town's website. It's advertised in the paper, but it's the responsibility is to call in to see if there's a burn ban when we do have one.
Okay. Councillor Innes.
Thank you, and thank you for coming to delegate. I know that it's not an easy task to do, so I want to acknowledge that. But I do have to echo some of the sentiments raised by Councillor Mazzapelli. It is a very dangerous sentiment, because when we do, precedent, when we do forgive, it ends up being the burden of all of our taxpayers. And more importantly, the issue was raised by Councillor Mazzapelli. For the time that they were at your call, thankfully there wasn't another call that they weren't getting to that was a life involved, not just our precious environment. So I think that... I, too, haven't supported any of the ones in the past for those two reasons. And moving forward, I can't, but I would encourage staff to work with you to find a payment plan.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, and thank you for coming, because I, too, agree it's tough standing where you are. It's tough for us to make those exceptions, but I'm hearing extenuating circumstances. And even though I sometimes agree with my partner to my left, I don't think everything is black and white. I think sometimes there is gray area. And maybe we need to revisit. I don't know what the parameters would be, but I think the idea of going back and talking to staff and see if there's any wiggle room, like we said, payment plan. But when you start telling me extenuating circumstances, I go, like, how do you get blood out of a stone, right? And then if not, we have to think of something else. But I can't think of something off the top of my head right now, but I'm thinking fundraiser or something. I don't know. I just think it's a really tough one you're in, and I'd like to see staff work with it, and maybe we need to revisit our policy and see if there is, sometimes there's exceptions that, and I'm not talking total exceptions, because you have to bear some of the responsibility, there's no doubt.
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It was a big lesson learned, I can say that. That's
right.
For sure, yeah.
And we don't have any of our fire department guys here, so I can't talk to them about it. But maybe if we could go back to staff and maybe we could figure out something. And I can't tell you what that something is. I just like to say that I don't believe everything is as black and white, and that there sometimes there has to be a little give and take. So I'm happy to sit down with you, with staff, and go through it and see if there's
Thank
anything
you.
We can do.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Mr. Wan?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. We can certainly work with the resident on a payment plan. I would like to get council direction on that. If we get that direction, then we will certainly pull it back from the collection agency, and we will work with the resident to set up a payment plan and start and go from there. In terms of reduction of fees and so on, staff don't have the authority to reduce any fees that are in the fees bylaw.
Okay. Councillor Groves?
Thank you. I'm on the same page as Councillor DeBoer. We, this council, many members of this, majority of this council, voted for a reduction in the one that came before us a few months ago. There needs to be consistency, and I think at this point we did give a reduction. We need to do the same. We can't be cherry-picking. And to solve all of this, I think we do need to revisit that bylaw, and we do have to look at maybe those extenuating circumstances that would look at some exceptions. I think your circumstance is one of those extenuating circumstances. You're on financial assistance. This is what we are not hearing. It could be another person, a senior, on a pension. I'm sure you didn't do that on purpose. You know, so at some point we have to be human and we have to put ourselves in somebody else's shoe. So, you know, you have seven people in your family. I'm assuming that you've got five children. Right. So I'm with Councillor DeBoer. We've done this before. We've done the reduction. Council has the authority to direct staff to work with you on a reduction. Payment plan is one thing, but $8,000 is a lot of money, and we've done it before. So I will just leave it to my colleagues around the table to consider your circumstances and the position you're in. So I'll just leave it there. Thank you.
Well, challenge we have is, Councillor Groves, is we've done a lot of talking, but no one's given these people a solution. Mr. Wong, what are you looking for? If there's anything you need direction from us, so what are you looking for? And interest has been charged on top of this, correct?
That is correct, Mayor Thompson. So what I'm looking for is direction to work with the resident on a payment plan. If council wants to go further, then I leave it up to council.
Okay. Okay, council, I think what I'm going to say before I take the board again, I think we need to have a bit of a motion, you know, if there is a reduction, if not, if it's payment plan, and if there is a reduction, what you do with the interest charges, I think we need to help staff have a bylaw to go by. So if you're going to do something, we're going to have to be very plain on what it is. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I would ask, and I would put this motion on the floor, the last time we did this, it was about 25% that it worked out to with the reduction. So I'm going to propose that we do a 25% reduction as well so that it is consistent. And the rest of it, I'm not sure how we do it with revisiting the bylaw to look at maybe those circumstances where we can provide some exceptions. So I would imagine that would be totally separate.
Yes, Councillor Groves, I would recommend you come back with a motion to identify that later.
Yeah.
I think what we have to deal is with this particular invoice. So, you know, reduction, but also what do you want to do with the interest that's been incurred on a payment plan or whatever. I think we have to say something. So I hate to force you, but I need.
So I guess whatever the total is, whatever that interest is, I don't know what the interest is. We do it.
6,910 is the amount, and 1,000 is the interest.
It's about $8,000 here is what I'm looking at.
$8,081.25.
$8,081.
But the actual amount is $6,910. And the interest is $1,036.50.
So I'm going to propose that we do a 25% reduction.
Okay.
On that $8,081.
Okay. A seconder to that? Councillor Shaughnessy?
Sorry about that.
Can I speak before we? She hasn't quite got it on the floor because she hasn't got a seconder, right?
Not yet.
At this point.
Yeah.
I'm just, I get it. But should we not, okay, a couple of things. One, we had like five trucks. Like, that was kind of overkill, was it not?
We didn't need them. I'll be honest with you. There was two or three trucks just sitting there, and my husband was out there fighting the fire while there was like eight firefighters standing around talking.
Okay.
And not to put the firefighters down, but that is what I witnessed. So I really don't see the need of eight fire trucks or five or however many there were, because there was trucks sitting.
Yeah. I get that. Should we? I'm just wondering, before we step into this, whether we should have this discussion with staff and look at the credentials as far as the ability to pay. This isn't something that I want to air here in council, their financial stability, and maybe that's something we should be looking at, you know, in an office as opposed to here, and then they can always come back. I'm not saying, but we put the interest on hold. I mean, I don't think we need to be charging them the interest. So if we could, and I'm looking for...
I think the CEO would like...
Okay,
I think
fine.
We can help
Thank
them.
You.
Yes, through you, Mayor Thompson, in relation to some of the discussion here, I don't think we should be predetermining the role of the fire department operationally as it relates to how many trucks are sent out. There's a CAD system. There's a fairly sophisticated system in place as far as dispatch is concerned. And if council would like, I think it might be helpful to have the general manager that's responsible for that department, as well as other departments, to just give a brief overview of the scope. This was not a small incident by any means. And I don't mean to belittle the delegate or the situation, but it was a substantive call out with some fairly severe consequences at the end of the day. So with your approval, Mr. Mayor, it might be helpful to have the general manager just give a real brief scope and overview of the actual call.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to the council. So the fire took place. Five trucks showed up at the scene. It took 2 hours to extinguish the fire. It was a open-air burn that actually went over to almost 3 acres of the property.
So I think that's helpful to know, because this was not a small little fire that happened just in the backyard of someone's property. This is something that spread quite rapidly and dramatically. But I do think that my concern would be debating the merits of the operations of the fire department. We've got a number of professionals that operate within the confines of the Fire Act, as well as some of the legislation that they need to follow. And I just hate to get into whether the debate here about whether one truck was needed or 20 trucks were needed. The fire department should, on a call-to-call basis, be responsible for making that call.
Okay. All right. I got some more questions here. Councillor Beffert?
Well, what I heard was a request from staff to council as to some direction. And I guess all I think right now is that we provide the direction to review this file, and if appropriate, a reduction would be appropriate if they deem it so. And just leave it at that. They've heard all of the discussion, and I think they will act in the best interest of whatever. And that may be no reduction. I don't know.
Is that satisfactory for you, Mr. Wong?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, if the direction is for us to review the file, then we will, I guess, write a report back to get council direction after we've reviewed the file.
But you don't have the ability or the capacity for a reduction?
Mr. Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. I think, to be fair to everyone and not to prolong the delegate waiting for an answer, Mr. Wong has indicated very clearly that staff doesn't have the flexibility. Once council passes the fee bylaw and your bylaw, what my expectation of staff is day to day is they follow that 100%, not 90% or 50%, that they follow that, because that is the direction of council. So I think what Mr. Wong is saying in a roundabout way is that if you do feel a reduction is necessary, please make that decision tonight, or if you feel that other direction is necessary as it relates to setting up a payment plan for the full amount, that would be direction as well. But staff at this point does not have the ability to deviate from the council-approved bylaw.
Okay. All right. Okay. Councillor DeBoer.
I just wanted to go along that same tone, and I think the CAO did cover it, is that they're looking for us to make a decision. I started out with saying I didn't support the reduction in the first case that was a little while ago. I think a number of councillors did. I think you got this is exactly the scenario that I said would play out. And I don't want to say I told you so, but I told you so. This is a huge fire. There was five trucks showed up. If you knew what last summer was, it was a very dry summer. We had less than an eighth of an inch for the better part of July and August. Everything was tinder dry. Why you would even have a chiminea going is beyond my belief and understanding. So, as far as I'm concerned, I would support a payment plan. And I think the message has to go out is because we've just passed a bylaw that permits more people to have the opportunity to have fire, recognizing that we believe, as council and as people around this table, that people can do this responsibly. That doesn't mean that you have to have a sign in front of you to say it shouldn't be burning. The reality is you should know when it's responsible to have a fire. You live in rural Ontario.
Yes, and
so, but no safety measures, and I don't want to really take this any longer, but no safety measures, like a garden hose, last summer was never going to do it, especially if you stuck into the garage to get a stick. The stick should have been there. You can't leave fires unattended. I think that's one of the basic rules. Back to being a Boy Scout. So I'm going to be consistent in the way that I think these things need to be dealt with, and that is that the message has to be there. I apologize for having to take that stand, but our men and women on the fire force do leave their homes to attend to these events, and some of them repeatedly on a number of bases. And when it does happen, a lot of them are taking a long-distance walk through a lot of countryside to put out fires. So we have to send the message that if we're going to allow our community to have backyard recreational burns, if they aren't responsible in it, then this is the downside. Because we've just passed a bylaw, guys, to allow more people to do this. Are we just, did we just make a pass a bylaw that's going to end up putting us in more trouble? I think that's something we got to think about.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much. So I'm going to disagree, sorry, with the CAO. I think there's more information needed here. And I also don't think we should be talking about your finances in council, because we wouldn't do that with the CAO. We wouldn't do it with anybody else here at the Town of Caledon. I think it's inappropriate. So I would prefer to move back to have a meeting with Mr. Wong. Let's talk about whether there is ever an exception, because I think there is gray area. And if you qualify for that exception, because I think there are exceptions to every rule, I'm not as definitive, then we can come back with a more wholesome and a clearer decision. So I personally think there's another discussion that needs to happen, but not here. I think you've pleaded your case very well. But I think we need to have a wholesome discussion, not here. So I would like to refer it back to staff to investigate whether they're actually with the fire department to find out, and if there are ever any opportunities where there's an extenuating circumstance. And I think finances is a huge extenuating circumstance. So would that be acceptable? She's saying yes, it would be.
Yes, sir, you, Mayor Thompson to Councillor Shaughnessy. I just want to let you know, and I don't want to prolong it for these fine people, also, is that you can pass it back to staff if you wish, but as I've indicated, staff will follow the bylaw. So there is not the ability for Mr. Wong or one of the finance staff to make an arbitrary decision on this. That's why I'm asking for the decision of council today to ensure that if we deviate from the bylaw, it's at the direction of council.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you. And I agree with Mr. Galloway. We set policies. Staff has to follow those policies. Any changes within those policies or bylaw has to come through council. So I'm willing, my motion is over there somewhere with the clerk. So I'd like to have it so that it goes to staff with a review for staff to review with an upset limit of 25%.
Yeah. So Councillor Groves was saying, like, to go back to...
drafting that. The fees bylaw is pretty specific in stating that the amount, any changes to the fees bylaw has to be approved by council. You can't say an upset limit. It has to be specific. The wording of the bylaw does not allow you to be anything but specific. I think Mr. Wong is looking for specific wording. He needs specific direction in order to circumvent the bylaw.
Okay, moved by Councillor Groves, second by Councillor Downey, that the invoice of 002032 be reduced by 25% and staff work with Ms. Parker on a payment plan. Okay. I'm going to call a vote. Oh, Councillor Innes, are you done? I had you on the board. All right. All in favor? We'll put it up there because everybody can read it. Oh, sorry, Councillor DeBoer.
I would like those two items split in half, so that we do one and do the other.
Okay, we can do that. I'll make that call. So we'll vote on the first part, that the invoice be reduced by 25%. All in favor? Opposed? It's failed. Okay, staff be directed to work with Ms. Parker on a payment plan. That's the second part. It's unanimous. We have a payment plan. Okay. It's carried. Thank you. I will now call on Stephen Abram Lighthouse Consulting and Janet Levitt from LAG Architectural Partners to approach the podium to provide a presentation concerning the Callan Library Service Facility Review and Master Plan. And as you know, you have 10 minutes, according to the bylaw, and you'll get clarification from council over and above. Welcome.
Hello, this is Jana. I'm Stephen. We've met all of you before, and it's, I think this is like the fourth time for some of you. It's great to see you all again, and we'll respect your time and the 10-minute limit. Now you're into a good change of pace from the last one. We're doing a report on the role of the library in community building, which I know is close to all of your hearts. So we're going to highlight the top line stuff you've received, the big thick report that goes thump, and we have, I'll cover the goals and the main findings, and Jana will cover the facility recommendations and some recommended next steps. The goals of the project were to bring the facilities and programs up to provincial standards. We did a complete review of that, and our recommendations and the drawings cover all that. And we want to ensure physical and technological accessibility for all. Your facilities have aged out of their technological readiness for the 21st century. We want to ensure adequate and flexible program space for future growth. you are a growing community, and your program space is very inadequate and very inflexible. We want to expand the community use and engagement for teens, adults, and seniors. You have a program that's largely borrowing and children's and seniors, and it needs to create more dynamism for teens and adults in this community to meet your growth population needs. We want to secure the library's role as a key community player in Caledon and also as a key cultural player and a community hub. And also, right across the board, to make sure it's cost-effective for management, staff teamwork, and logistics. The logistics and the way the staffing is spread out across too many branches is just not the right way to keep the most effective and efficient staff working well together. Our main findings are there is significant demand for no programs, specifically for adult learning, teens, and seniors, and specifically around creating businesses and finding jobs and beyond hobbies, homework help, adult learning. Community access to transportation at a local scale, especially for teens and seniors. You might have seen a couple of the communities in Ontario announced this week that they've done a special deal with Uber to ensure that you could get teens and seniors to the branches of the library and other social facilities. More emphasis is needed in educating on Caledon Public Library's online tools. Your online presence is your dominant branch, and it's growing at the same time as all the in-person visits to the branches are growing based on the program needs. It's the opposite of public opinion, actually. The libraries are just growing like hotcakes in Ontario. We're recommending more outreach and marketing required to engage non-library users and to engage new and diverse communities within Caledon. Integrating planning and partnership with community hubs and recreation facilities. This tends to be the most successful way of supporting a village-oriented population, the way Caledon is structured, and the Caledon Public Library's important role in community vitality strategy, since it serves as an anchor in various communities right across the town. The quality of life as a learning, social, and cultural institution. Your library system right now has about half of the provincial standard of square footage for what's needed for the population you have. Jana, on the facilities.
Yes, thank you, Stephen. So after quite a bit of conversation, analysis of the existing branches, discussion about the potential for the new branches, the high-level recommendations are as follows. Minor renovations to Alton, Inglewood, Caledon Village, and Caledon East. Major renovations in Bolton on both floors, and including getting better signage as you approach that branch. Repurpose the Margaret Dunn Valleywood branch as a digital hub and adult learning center. We believe that'll help the overall branch in meeting the needs of the community. A new village branch in Southfields that's approximately 7,500 square feet. A new resource branch in Mayfield West 2, about 20,000 square feet. Consideration to be given to moving Caledon East branch, currently in the high school, to an expanded Caledon community complex, expanding the Alton branch to make use of the adjacent community room, and possibly relocating the Bolton branch. So those are some satellite issues that form part of our bigger recommendation pool. And long-term plan for a consolidated branch in the Northwest. And then finally, the next steps. We had floor plans and costings that were that we generated, and costings for each of those was done to support the recommendations. So that's actually been taken care of now. The library board needs to prioritize the recommendations and integrate the ones that they want to as part of their strategic planning and put some forecasting around that. A monitoring plan has to be developed so that whatever the recommendation, sorry, monitoring plan? And, oh, sorry, implementing the master plan. So whatever recommendations that the library board adopts, there has to be a check-in time at intervals to make sure that the work is actually getting done. We need to, the library board needs to ensure that the projects are captured in capital forecasts in the future annual budget processes. And finally, that the projects are captured in the next DC study. I believe that's...
So, Your Honor, we're here, Jenna and I, to answer any questions or provide any clarification. You've received the reports. We also have supportive people in the room, including many members of the library board, as well as senior task staff component and the CEO of the library.
Okay. Thank you very much, but I do have some questions, so don't go away. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation, and I just want to say that I know that the staff at the in the Bolton branch, they do a great job promoting the library there and getting out there. They're at events, and they have done a great job. So I just want to let you know that they're doing that. The other thing that we've done, and you're talking about getting it out there to different groups and things like that, I know that we've had some books donated to the youth center that we opened in Bolton, Chess Place. And I can tell you, coming from these kids, you would think that they would be on the doing the online stuff. They actually like to sit down with a book and read that book. It's just a totally different way, and it's a different feeling when you're actually having the books. I'm not a big fan of online agendas. I like them here because I like to have paper and I make marks and things like that. And I was quite surprised when I heard that coming from those young people that, you know what, we prefer to just pick up a book and have it in hand. So I know that we're promoting the library at Chess Place. We did receive some flyers from the library, and we've posted them in the center so that we can put that. Happy to have you there to even talk to some of those kids about what the library, the services that you offer and all the different things that you offer at the library, because I don't think that they know that. So I would be very supportive in having these sorts of things to different community groups, maybe even talking to the schools. I don't know if they do that already, but to talk about those things, it's not just going and getting a book, but you have a whole bunch of other things that you do there. Couple of things. What sorts of reno that you're talking about with the Bolton branch? You say major renovation. So what are you looking at in terms of the major renovations?
I think it's quite extensive. It needs a whole new mechanical electrical system I would say new mechanical electrical system to bring it up to date. A reconfiguration of the entry sequence and area so that it's very public, that you can control the entry so you can have evening programs with the rest of the library closed off, so you get many more opportunities to do outreach into the community and have community groups come into the library in off hours. New lighting system, some new furnishings, paint, new carpets, consolidation of the books into several key areas to allow for more multi-purpose and programming areas, and better browsing, and a consolidation of the staff into a key portion of the branch to allow for better and a more efficient staff use.
Mm-hmm. The big changes address the several renovations that have been done on it
already
so far.
Yep.
That have completely disrupted the floor of the space, so it is very difficult to tell there's a second floor. So
I just need you to speak into the microphone.
Sorry, it's very difficult to tell there's a second floor, so some people walk in and don't know what's there. So the creation of an atrium allows that to happen. The other thing is if you need to consolidate the staff, they need to be made more effective. Right now they're
using more space than they need at the same time as not being able to put enough staff in the space. So consolidating technical services, IT, management from three branches into one so that they operate like a team is a proper way of doing it, and then making sure that there's multifunctional program space there. And the program space is just an open area now, so it's not walled. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right when you talked about getting outreach. Since we started this project, Caledon's been working on a project and has been getting 400% increases in their outreach using new systems and methodologies. And so they've really stepped up to the plate and done some good work there. And the outreach to daycares and the Ontario Institute of Studies and Education program that shows how you get kids involved in reading and how it changes their lives. We know that if you go to children's story hours before you go to school, you have a letter grade difference by grade 8. So that kind of thing is the kind of impact communities want.
Right. And we also have the Caledon Parent Child Center in that same, in that building, where it could be, you know, sort of outreach to the moms there and even to the little ones that are there. And the seniors. Seniors use the libraries a lot. And so I don't know if there's an outreach to the seniors to help promote it, but okay. So I think that's a good thing. DC study, and this is probably something that maybe Mr. Wong can answer. Can we use DCs to, we're talking about renos. Can we use DCs to do renovations, or is it?
Mr. Wong.
Thank you. Through Mayor Thompson, development charges are usually used, should be used for expansion or new libraries. So it's to accommodate growth that's coming. So as more people come to the town, you need more library space, and that's what development charges should be used for.
And the recommendations are for two or three new branches assembled into recreation centers.
And I understand that, and I'm just thinking of the Bolton one. How do we expand that? Because I don't think there is any room to expand the Bolton branch, when I look at it anyway.
A recommendation is it doesn't need to be expanded.
You're talking about relocation.
Mr. Aver, if you can just turn.
I'm sorry.
Get in the microphone.
If you relocate, then it's a different situation. A recommendation is first to renovate Albion Bolton. There was a suggestion around relocating to facilities down in the valley to revitalize the downtown of Bolton. That's a different situation, which wasn't part of our original scope, which is why we left it in as a potential thing to study, but it wasn't part of the original scope.
Okay, because when you said relocation, I was like, what, where are you going to take it? Hopefully not outside of the community, but okay, to look at something, okay, and to look at something downtown Bolton to help revitalize the area, I think it's a good idea. But okay, great, thank you.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Of course, all of us councillors are going to ask about what's going on in their particular ward. Could have guessed that one. You had two on the screen for minor renovations. You had Callum Village Place and you had Alton. So we renovated the basement at Callum Village Place. What kind of renovation, and I know we've done some roof work on the building, what kind of renovation are you actually looking to for Callum Village Place?
I think that's a quite minor, the Caledon Village Place, because, as you said, a significant amount of work has already been done, and it we need, sorry, it's been a little bit, so I might be a little fuzzy on some of the details. Primarily, it's accessibility issues, so getting an appropriate and up-to-code barrier-free elevator, the entrance sequence, making sure it's barrier-free. And then when you get up to the level where the library is, to make sure we're proposing to renovate the program area entry sequence to allow for some multi-purpose program area and an office, and to make the existing space better capable of reaching a number of groups of people.
Right now, the only program space in that branch is a small carpet needing cleaning where kids can sit on it, or four chairs for the Knitting and Natter Club to talk to each other.
Yeah.
It has
pretty minimal.
Very bad furniture. There is a CEO's office there, divorced from anyone else in the system, that should be a program room. And there is a kitchen with minor renovations and a good floor, and replacing the floor like the beautiful floor you put into the rentable room downstairs. The whole branch could become a mid-century modern, beautiful space. And if you popped out the back of the open downstairs floor, and so you put a patio on the back in that big open park behind it,
right,
you would have an outdoor reading area for kids and three for three seasons. And that, just small things like that, would pop that whole branch and give you things to attract teens in, because there's a room for teens to be private with a big window on it so you can see what they're doing, and a kitchen where you could do cooking club with seniors and adults and nutrition for teens. There's a lot of ways to program that branch that cannot be done right now because of the inappropriately loose space that's there now.
Okay. So have you, did I see something that said that you've already done floor plans? So would you have done a floor plan with a concept?
Yep. All of the libraries have proposed floor plans.
Okay. So we can see that as counselors right?
It's in your documents.
Okay. You're talking to a 30-year architectural designer here. So
okay. Great. So
I'm with you.
We can walk you through.
Okay. And then Alton. I have concerns about that. Their meeting space is also far too small, but then they have the meeting room on the other side. We had a meeting there a few months ago with, where does the library go? Does it stay there? Does it go into the old historic building? What are we going to do? And then it sounds like you want to grow into that room space to it?
That branch has the Great Hall of China.
Yes.
Between the branch and the meeting room on the other side. The meeting room on the other side is not flexible and is underused.
Right.
So by putting some furniture in there and using it as an adult space for the library so that the kids can be on the other side, has you have asset use that warrants your investment in that space. So by putting some club chairs on wheels and having reading space, opening up the giant hallway and taking out the coat cupboards there,
right,
and putting revolving racks in of paperbacks to make it a browsery, you open up space for more computers and space. So it's not a big renovation.
Yeah.
It's just appropriately using the space.
It's really redeploying a lot of what you have already in a more intelligent manner that reflects the needs of the community that goes there now.
And reviewing the HVAC so the washroom sanitation smell doesn't permeate the whole building.
Right.
I mean, it's a constant in the entire study was the mechanical, electrical, the HVAC has been problematic. But in any buildings of a certain age, you have to
check your vents.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So were you actually thinking that the community center room would be multi-use? Is it going to still be able to be a community room, or is it going to be more library? Or
I think the whole way, many of our suggestions are to make much more of the library and library branches multi-use. I mean, that's the best and most efficient way, and it's certainly reflective of the way libraries are going because of the many different programs that happen in there. You can't have one space that, you know, even the kitchen area is not just a kitchen area. It could be for cooking classes, could be for demonstrations, could be for moms and babies. So you have to design almost everything for multi-use goals.
And that neighborhood is a nice neighborhood, so putting in a Starbucks-style stand-up table at it for BYOD, bring your own device, works very well. Putting coffee in. And the only major thing we do to the outside walls is knock out a door from the children's area.
Right.
So you can do outdoor reading and just have a little fence around it so that kids get fresh air and get the joy of reading in sunshine as well.
Perfect.
As indoors. And so it just makes a more flexible space.
Oh, I'm liking what you're saying. So that's great. So I'll look forward to, I guess I get a hold of Colleen, do I? And and take a look at those drawings, Colleen?
You have all the drawings.
Okay. Okay.
We can't hear you, Colleen. I'm sorry.
She'll get us copies if we need.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all in the agenda.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you very much for your presentation. I appreciate the fact that it shows a very high level vision for the library systems throughout Caledon. So I thank you for that. And I think there's an opportunity for some low-hanging fruit in there. You just talked about some where it's basically just rearranging what you have. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the low-hanging fruit that we can immediately, some immediate short-term wins. But in the spirit of being very open and honest, and I'm reflecting on the memorandum attached to this from strategic initiatives under which the library rests, it talks about how there's some big asks in there, and only one of them, and it's not even the biggest one, is currently in the plan. So I just wanted to ask if you were aware of the memo, and you know, and it's great. We want to talk about recreation, what their dreams and vision is in the library and everything else, and then we got to put it together and put it through the process, fund it, and all those types of things. So I just wondered if you had read the response, and I was very glad to read, you know, that they are going to work with the library board mm-hmm. and the CEO, CAO, and as best as possible implement these into the plan. So I just wanted to kind of bounce that.
That's why we put that into next steps, because the goal of this study was to say, what do we recommend you do?
Yeah.
How much is it going to cost? Then we've had conversations with the board and the senior staff around phasing. Exactly what you said, low-hanging fruit. Then the bigger picture stuff like Mayfield West 1 and 2 Southfields that would be part of DC money or prioritization of DC money and phased in. We have several years, like way out to 2030 or 2040, mm-hmm. of where things could happen. So the money, we've costed it to say, how much is this going to cost, so you know where it's going to be, and then you look at, okay, what culture strategy, community hub strategy, or DC money might fit into this, and is there money around green initiatives and stuff that's coming on. So this is a master plan that gives you a place to start to look at prioritizing money around, that's how I started off, community engagement and community building.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I take out of this. Yeah. It's basically setting the stage for future conversations, future planning, and I think that's a good thing. And we want to make sure that we capture, you know, the recommendations of the board and through the consultant on what we should be looking at in the future. So I think that's a great thing, and I thank you for delegating today.
Thank you, Councilor Mazzarelli. And the key component of this is that you're running half of the square footage you need for the population you have now, let alone planning for growth. And it's your south end is the one that's the most under-resourced.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilor Mazzapelli. Councilor McClure.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Thompson. And thanks for your presentation. And I'm proud to be a library board representative from council, along with Councilor DeBoer. And quite often, all the members say, could the library board members please stand up, shoulder and gut yourself.
And there's a couple of
Sure. Well, you can if you want it. But Colleen Lipp, she does a great job. She gets the last library meet. Everybody was there. I think the meeting before that, everybody was there, too. It might have something to do with the way she serves sandwiches and cookies, but she's going to get me every time. But staff does a great job, and I think we should recognize all these recommendations. They know what they're talking about. They do a great job, and every town should be excited about their library. A library is an important place in every town. Everybody's proud of it. The kids are proud of it. Seniors are proud of it. And I'm proud of the job the library board's doing. And I'm okay, thank you. That's all.
I'm sure the staff appreciate that, Councillor McClure.
Councillor DeBoer. Thanks, Councillor McClure.
Thanks. I did get to see this report. I want to thank you for coming out again, because I think the first one you missed was a snowstorm or something, right? So thanks for, I guess you didn't come up that time, but thanks for coming out this time. One of the things that's important, I think, that we got to look at on this whole project is the dollars it's going to take. And some of them are shared facilities, and you talked about the HVAC and the heating and air conditioning. We did a facilities assessment, I believe, at some point in time, a couple of years ago, I think now, looking at the facilities and the state of the buildings that we had, some of the needs and some of the work is like the HVAC and electrical that were outlined here. Is there a plan down the road to address them? Has there been a plan set out as far as that assessment? And they might not have the answer today, because I think that piece fits into what this work is, what this is suggesting, and how do we kind of get down the road? Because I think when I go back to the next number of library board meetings, we're going to be looking at planning for dollars. But if some of these retrofits or repairs are done as part of the work, those are things that can come out of what needs to probably come out of the library portion of it. And then down the road, how are we going to finance a lot of this work? Like we've done on a couple of other projects where we started to set money aside or increase an item, a dollar item, and then try and set it into the budget over a number of years to increase. Can we, as far as staff and council, at the budget time, start to look at having discussions around sustaining and increasing funding down the road as far as trying to meet some of these needs? Can we look at any of those things? And if you want to answer tonight, that's fine, or somewhere down the line, we need to try and have that discussion when we start talking budgets and future visioning.
I think Mr. Wong.
Well, that's what he was going to do.
Yeah, would have know what technical audit he has.
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. So the answer is yes. We actually completed the building condition assessments. I believe they were completed last year. Mm-hmm. And the building condition assessments did do a thorough review of what assets we have, the condition the assets in, and a plan, a 5 to 10 year plan as to when we need to repair or replace these assets and maintain a more comprehensive maintenance on some of these assets. So in our, we have also included every year, as for council review during budget time, a 10-year capital forecast. And as part of that forecast, we have information in there as to a base level of repairs and maintenance, and also the growth-related capital projects that come from our DC study and master plans and so on. So we have incorporated all those things for council review, and as we get more information like these building condition assessments, we can actually enhance the information that we provide to council. So as we go through the 2018 budget process, you will have more information that incorporates the building condition assessments. In terms of building the town's capacity to pay for these repairs and maintenance items, the town has, over the last few years, through tax increases and through mainly tax increases, built up the town's capability for a tax-funded capital program. So I believe in 2009 we were at about $3 million in terms of our tax-funded capital program. Over the years, we've built up that capacity where, on an annual basis, we're just under $15 million in terms of the town's tax-funded capital program. And staff and have recommended to council in the past that we should strive for a target of around $20 million in terms of tax-funded capital. And that's our target right now, and that would be our starting point.
Okay, and I think in one of the things that we started looking at targeting capital, we did focus originally back when I got on council a number of years ago, we really targeted capital investment in the public works end of it. And we focused because that was the obvious deficiency. We learned as we went along we had deficiencies in recreation and had to start stepping it up. And I think last year we did a different budget in the sense that the capital was more spread throughout the organization and tried to approach jobs or approach the work that needed to be done throughout the organization. And now, is there an opportunity, I guess, when we look at that, or have you last year, or now that we've got this master plan, look at incorporating some of these needs within that bigger capital requirement as part of, you know, the capital requirements for recreation, public works, those sort of things? Is that realistic?
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Excuse me. So every year, as part of the budget process, there are a long list of capital requests, and we go through and we make recommendations to council. So certainly, as I mentioned, we have the building condition assessments. The building condition assessments will go into enhancing the information that we provide council in terms of forecasts. And yes, we will be also recommending perhaps an increase to our tax-funded capital program, and that is up to council to decide at budget time.
Okay, and more on a personal note, the ABUCC has been renovated a couple of times now, and I'm really kind of, after I've seen in the first rendition of what you had in the report, and when I really sit back, you just kind of wonder whether that's the place to spend a lot more money in the bigger picture. And I guess that was just more of a comment than it is anything else. It was renovated to make use when the fitness center moved out of there and to make use of the bigger space and meeting space. But I think as far as a community, we need to probably have a discussion as to how that building should fit within the needs of the community and whether it makes a better use of repurposing it rather than trying to renovate it more or again or whatever for a library if it's not really working properly because it was never intended to be a library in that form. So that was just kind of more of a personal note after I read the report, and it just, I think I can think about it a little bit longer, but that is something that I did conclude. But other than that, it was good information. I think Laura is coming out to a number of the library board meetings, which is good. There's a connection, and I think as we work through this report and with the library board, we try and continue to or increase the amount of investment. So thank you.
Councillor DeBoer, I think you're right that one of your challenges as a council is balancing repair and reimagine. And much of the stuff that happens that we're recommending in our report is on the reimagine side of things. And the repairs support that reimagination, some of the rebuilding, some of the renovations. And then there's the full reimagination of building new community hubs in key places. So that reimagination, looking at some of these repair budgets alone, doesn't really go to the full impact of what happens in community building and community vitality and quality of life issues that you want to support for your residents.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor DeBoer. Councillor Befford.
Well, a lot has been said. Certainly, Councillor Mezzapelli put it in context, and I too read the memo and immediately jumped to how can we afford this. I guess the one thing I would have done is put at the very beginning that this whole exercise is to add to an already excellent system, because that's what we hear all the time about what's happening in our small but personal libraries. I guess the second thing is, as I look certainly in Ward 1 and places like Alton and Caledon and Inglewood, we're getting a tremendous number of new families, and they have young children, and so the demand for growth is going to be there. So I know that there's part of this is dreaming and part of this is reality of how we cope with that right away. We as a council, I believe, immediately have to take a look at some of that low-hanging fruit and make sure there's money in the budget to make it happen. We've been talking for years about making that room in Alton part of the library. It's time to do it. We've been talking for years in terms of getting rid of the office in Caledon Village and spreading it out. I mean, story time alone should take precedent over the director of the library sitting in there. But we haven't done it, and we've got to do it. So I think those are the things that we as a council have got to do immediately, and then we move on from there. So I think it's a good report, and it reflects what the library board talks about all the time, to try and take us roughly west together. And that's where we have to go. Some of the provincial things will disappear when we have more library space and more, more internet and all that kind of stuff. But I think what we as a council have to do is make sure those small things are looked after, starting with this budget.
And I think another aspect that comes, I think it's clear in the report, is expectations of the new residents, which is a significant proportion of your population, is largely driven by Mississauga, Hamilton, and Toronto. And those systems just can afford to deliver more and more diversity and stuff. So we've recommended localized special points of excellence, like the Margaret Dunn Valleywood Branch being a business incubator and aimed at teen and makerspace activities, because that makes it affordable at the Caledon level without having to go the full bore thing like Hamilton or Toronto can do. And that way you can achieve what will work for your citizens where they might have to drive to it or Uber to it, but not go whole hog on something that's too expensive for your tax base. We try to be reasonable within what you can do within your fiscal means.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor Bedford. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. Just to follow along on the fiscal side and through you to maybe Mr. Galloway. So we've got a lot of assets, and when we're talking about assets, I know it's I'm not just talking about roads, bridges, and culverts and all that other stuff, but it's facilities that we own. And I can't remember if we have anything that tells us sort of like a 10-year forecast. So in 10 years from yes. now or in 5 years from now, this facility, you know, the Albion Bolton, say, oh, it's going to need a new roof or whatever, or the complex over here. So I know that something did come before us, and it had roads, bridges, culverts, and all that, but I can't remember if we had those buildings in there.
Yes. So I'm going to let...
Yes, through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Groves. The 10-year capital forecast that's presented every year has, in the detailed information, sort of a sliding scale of capital projects that will be accomplished over the next 10 years. Within, and they're very detailed items that the finance department puts together as part of the budgetary sessions every year, but it does show when, you know, a pumper truck for the fire department needs to be replaced, or a roof or an HVAC system in different facilities. So that information is 10 years out. Actually, just to build on that, we've actually started looking at doing an extended 20-year plan, but don't hold me to a timeline on that. But certainly the 10-year capital forecast explains a number of the replacements that are required amongst all of our capital assets, including roads, bridges, library branches, et cetera, HVAC systems, you name it, it's in there. It's okay. Very detailed, yes.
Okay, good. And just so it doesn't slip our minds, because we get so many things that we're looking at. So, Mr. Galloway, then I guess we start looking at them and start incorporating it in the budgets as we go forward so that we...
Yes, through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Groves. So what we do every year is we've got a number of master plans that we work with, right? We have the Parks and Rec master plan. We've got the master plan for different areas of the community, whether it's improvement districts, et cetera. So we take all of those master plans, and at budget time, during our budget deliberations, which usually starts sometime, quite frankly, internal, sometime around the summer of each year, is we start to evaluate really simplistically how much money is available and what projects in all of the master plans may be feasible for that year and 10 years out. So that work will be done, and the library master plan will be one of the plans that are considered during this budgetary session, as will a number of other master plans.
Okay. Well, that's great, because moving forward, I think that's how we need to be able to keep track of what we have, because just on a smaller scale, I know I put money aside because I know that, well, you know what, I replaced my roof 10 years ago, and maybe in another 10 years or 15 years, I'm going to need to replace it. So, you know, that's sort of how I'm looking at it, that we sort of manage things the same way, and that's what I'm hearing from you, Mr. Galloway, so that's good. Thank you.
Related to Councillor Grove's question was also how you choose to put in new facilities versus the technical audit that says when do we need to replace things. So it sounds like from Mr. Wong and CAO that you have a fairly rugged technical audit on what needs to be replaced. We relied on the Parks and Rec documents and their strategic plan, which went into detailed population forecasts by district within Calada. And that told us where the population was going to grow a lot and where it was going to be pretty stable. And that told us where we should plot new joint facilities, listening to what you told us in two meetings, that you wanted more integrated planning so that you could have Parks and Rec and social services and libraries in the same space. But if you look at the growth forecast for the next 20 years that Parks and Rec did to say, okay, now we need to look at how are the libraries going to support this when you're already halfway behind the pipe. So that's related to the other part of your question.
And that is a key point that you're bringing up, because our facilities, not just libraries, but our facilities, all of our facilities are, in my opinion anyway, I know the ones in Bolton, they're at capacity. They've been at capacity for a long time because we haven't built any additional facilities in Bolton for years and years, and we continue to have growth in Bolton. You know, so the other thing that I would put out there is that when we're talking about, you're talking about population growth and future growth in that, and I think it's important that you take that into consideration. You know, but there's opportunities. I know we can't make them, but there are opportunities when the developers come here that we say to the developers, you know what, our community needs this. Are you willing to do that? Because a lot of times the developers come in here, they build their stuff, they get their money, make their money, and off they go, and we are stuck providing facilities, providing services, and all that other stuff that goes on the taxpayers' shoulders. So, you know, that's one thing that I would put out there is that when we have these, and we have lots of developers here in Caledon right now because we have lots of growth being projected in the future, but that would be my two cents with these developers because other municipalities do it. You want to come to our
community? There are a number of successful
libraries. Absolutely. You want to come to our community? Well, you know what? We need a new whatever.
Well, I think, right? Councillor Groves, if you look at the plans in Mayfield West and the last secondary plan, I think we've got a pretty healthy, just as what you just said, is a really good example of what we've been able to do with Mayfield West Phase 2.
And that's good, but we need to do that on every project and every plan. So there's my two cents.
Very good.
Thank you,
Councillor Groves. Councillor Shaughnessy?
I just had to get my two cents in there once more. Thank you. But I think we're missing something here. The fact is we constantly are focusing on the new growth areas. And our facilities out in the more rural parts of Caledon, who have been footing the bill for the last 50, 60, 70 years, however long before we even became the region, deserve to have upgraded facilities. They can't be treated as an afterthought. Ward 1 for the longest time paid more taxes per ward than any other ward up until I think about 2010, yet we get nothing for it. So every time you go to the drawing board, I want you to think about that the west side of Caledon and the north of Caledon, I'm thinking Palgrave, et cetera, deserve to have a little bit more than what they get. They shouldn't have the scraps. They need to get something wholesome. So you have to push forward because they can't. I can tell you from Ward 1, they use their facilities. What they have, they use. So let's pay a little more attention to the local communities and what they really need because programming and everything needs to go up.
Well, I think when you see the report, you'll see, and it goes to Councillor Mezzapelli's point as well. His question, we were very agnostic when it came to the study, and we looked at, we had analyzed the needs of the community as a whole and each area, each precinct in the community, each ward, the libraries that were there, the libraries that were going to be built, and each one of them was a contributing factor and was given the attention that it needed to have as both the district library and as part of a larger system.
Okay.
And we do have a recommendation around Caledon West.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I just have one quick one myself. I think you've been well scrutinized. Is the change of things. St. Michael's had a play take place, and it was in the basement of Cyril Clark at Loafers Lake. And it's a library that's in the upstairs, Cyril Clark. There it's off Sandalwood. And last Saturday I was there to see their school performance. And it was interesting. The library said if you want parking passes or if you want to pay your parking tickets, your taxes, everything, you could do right at the library. And I think outer branches away from City Hall or Town Hall, I think that's something we need to consider. And is that something that you've factored in as well? Like, I mean, it's less... It goes to show there's cross-pollination. It is a library, but it still serves municipal structure.
Absolutely. One of the issues in all your branches is an under-computerization, and I can't imagine you're not going more strongly towards e-government. You have Swiss cheese broadband in Caledon and will for the foreseeable future. That requires you, when you go to e-government, to serve the 25% of Ontarians who do not have access to the internet at home or at work. So the library becomes the place where you can help people who don't know how to do it, because every person who works in your libraries works shoulder to shoulder with people, showing them how to click that thing, get to that website, pay their fine, get their fishing license, do their taxes, whatever it is. They don't do it for them, but they facilitate the operation.
Yeah.
So as you seek to reduce the cost of government in Caledon by going more and more towards e-government, the library becomes the steam out of the kettle so that you can serve everybody, whether it's a senior who has trouble working on a PC, but someone nice at the library, friendly little Susie, will show them how to do it. And that reduces the anxiety about moving to those operations.
Well, and I appreciate that, because I think population growth, it creates more government. But if we can develop e-government where we're not having to grow the base, become more efficient, I think that's where we have to go, and we have to be very diligent. But thank you very much for I think you've done a terrific report, and thank you so much for your presentation tonight.
Thank you very much. We love coming up here. Now, let's hope it's not raining on the way back.
I know the library board wants to get home to see the hockey game, but I do know we have TRCA, but I know that we've been sitting here for a while, so I know council would like to take a break. So we're going to take a five-minute break. I want everybody back here at 9 o'clock sharp, and we'll have TRCA, who will be their next delegation. Thank you. Getting underway, and... I will now call upon the representative from the Toronto Region Conservation Authority to approach the podium to provide the presentation concerning the Albion Hills Conservation Area Master Plan. Apologies, I don't have all the names, so I'll have you make the introductions if you could, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, and members of council. It's an honor to be here tonight, and we're really excited to be presenting the Albion Hills Conservation Area Master Plan. My name is Mike Bender. I'm the Associate Director of Master Planning and Green Space Conservation at TRCA, and joining me tonight, who is the project manager for the Master Plan, is Kim Krawchuk, and then also joining us is Doug Miller, who's the Senior Manager for Parks and Culture. The master plan development took a couple of years for us to go through the process, and we were fortunate to have members of council on our public advisory committee. We had regional councillor Innes, as well as local councillor DeBoer. And then at key milestones throughout the process, we touched base with regional councillor Innes as well. We've taken our master plan to our authority board for approval in principle, which we received, and we got direction to come to council of Caledon to seek endorsement. We have support from the Region of Peel, senior management endorsing the plan as well. So this is kind of our final presentation on the master plan. Albion Hills Conservation Area is something very special. I'm sure you all know how special it is. It's in your community. It's been here for 62 years. It was the first conservation park established in the province of Ontario, so that's an unbelievable legacy. It has all kinds of activities that are going on there, education, active recreation, and then a spectacular natural environment. We feel this plan really addresses the future needs and vision for the community, and it will be lasting for the next 25 years. So if ask Kim to kind of go through and give you that highlight of what we're proposing here.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. All right, so just to give you guys an overview of what we'll go through today. So I'm going to give you guys a context, just about the background info on Albion Hills as it is, its context. We'll go through the vision and the management zones that were developed as part of the master planning process, and then I'll take us through the main part of the plan, which is the public use framework, and then close it out with the budget and funding strategy, as well as the strategic impacts of the plan itself. So Albion Hills is 495 hectares and located within the Humber River watershed. The property is situated in the region of Peel within the municipal boundaries of the town of Caledon. The location of the property is especially unique given that it is positioned entirely within the Greenbelt Plan area and is identified as natural core area within the Oak Ridges Moraine Conservation Plan. The property provides a key link in the larger green space system that connects the Oak Ridges Moraine through the Humber watershed to Lake Ontario. The immediate surroundings of the property are primarily rural, given the protection that's provided by the larger planning context, although Albion Hills is still located within a 1 hour's drive of 8.8 million people. This includes a close proximity to a growing Peel region, which will see a 52% increase in its population over the next 25 years, which includes a 50% increase in the population within the town of Caledon itself. This growth within Caledon will be focused primarily within the designated rural service centers of Bolton, Mayfield West, and Caledon East. This projected growth requires new investments in Caledon and Peel for projects like the Albion Hills Master Plan and Bolton Camp to create a connected system of green space and recreation. Throughout this project, we have worked very closely with the Bolton Camp team to ensure that these projects not only complement each other, but to identify any opportunities for programming and partnership opportunities. Albion Hills, as Mike mentioned, is significant given that it was opened in 1955 as Ontario's first active conservation park. Today, the property is seen as a hub for nature-based recreation, education, and agricultural activities. With 158,000 annual visitors, Albion Hills is TRCA's most visited conservation area. This four-season destination is a regional draw as host to some of the largest outdoor events in the town of Caledon, if not all of Peel Region. Albion Hills has not undergone a comprehensive planning exercise since the 1956 plan of development. As a result, in 2013, the TRCA Authority Board approved the initiation of the Albion Hills Master Plan. The project was broken down into three primary phases dealing with project initiation, component development, and then project finalization. One of the major components that was developed as part of this was a guiding statement or a vision statement for the plan. The vision statement aims to not only highlight the significant features of the property, but is what will help to bring Albion Hills into the future. It reads, "This plan is a blueprint for revitalizing Ontario's first conservation area to meet the needs of today and tomorrow. Albion Hills is uniquely situated on the Oak Ridges Moraine within a 1 hour's drive of 8.8 million people, where five regional trails and one national trail converge. In expanding the range of options for people to enjoy nature-based adventures in every season, and by safeguarding its significant natural landscape, this plan sets the stage for Albion Hills to be a popular nature destination in the Golden Horseshoe region for decades to come." The next major component was the development of the management zones. They provide an overall framework for activities by guiding how the property is going to be managed. They identify where ecological features will be protected, where trails in public use will be located, and where restoration efforts must be focused. Albion Hills is unique in the fact that it is TRCA's destination for active recreation, and we are still able to protect over 80% of the natural cover on the property. A leading component of this project was to ensure that the needs of residents and stakeholders were heard and addressed wherever possible. We received a great deal of feedback about how to meet the needs of the community through the revitalization of the property. What we heard from the consultation, combined with research on demographics, recreation trends, and a needs assessment of the property, helped to inform the creation of a public use framework. This framework provides a structure for public use recommendations that were all developed within the plan. The first component within this framework seeks to optimize and restore existing features. Since a majority of the infrastructure dates back to the 1970s, stakeholders had expressed the need to better utilize our existing resources. So first up is the Albion Hills Dam, which was constructed in 1965 on Centerville Creek and was constructed only to provide a swimming destination for park users. Up until 2009, swimming was a permitted activity within the designated swimming area, but as a result of decreasing popularity, declining water quality, safety concerns, and just an evolving community desire and community need, swimming was removed from the lake and a splash pad and pool were provided on site. In 2012, a safety review was conducted on the dam, which revealed a number of issues related to the structure. As a result, TRCA then initiated a feasibility study to assess some of the alternatives for the future of the Lakeview area. A number of obstacles related to reconstructing the dam were highlighted as part of this process. That includes its compatibility with the Humber River Watershed Plan and fisheries management plans, the difficulty in obtaining permits to reconstruct the dam, both internally and from the MNR, the desire to provide an enhanced water-based experience for the public, as well as just the overall high cost to rebuild the dam. So as a result, TRCA began to re-envision what the renewed Centerville Creek and new amenity space would look like following the decommissioning of the dam. As part of this process, we wanted to develop a conceptual site plan and a series of perspective renderings to really help communicate our vision. So building on the restored area, a series of boardwalks, lookout platforms, and trails will be constructed adjacent to the creek and throughout the site in order to provide increased interaction with the water feature through interpretive, educational, and recreational opportunities. This will enhance opportunities for viewing native fish species and participating in programming like the fish release programming that the education centers take part in. The Albion Hill Chalet was designed in 1973 by Ontario's oldest operating architecture firm, Craig Zeidler & Strong. In order to optimize the current chalet, a 50% expansion is recommended in order to create an accessible and renovated community event and gathering space. This would include making the building accessible, providing an energy retrofit, as well as expanding the existing kitchen facilities. Additional improvements are also recommended on the water play facility and the existing beach center concession building in order to accommodate a larger demographic of users. The existing pool and splash pad, we found that it really accommodates a much younger demographic of user at this time. Additional improvements are also recommended on the existing trail system and within the existing campgrounds. The second part within the framework seeks to create new opportunities in emerging tourism markets. This component builds on the desire of our partners and our stakeholders to provide nature-based adventure tourism while creating a major regional tourism draw within the GTA. So given Albion Hill's reputation as a venue for large outdoor events and recognizing that it's really these events that bring a majority of the public to our site, we recognize the importance of building on this existing market. The area created with the restoration of Centerville Creek will provide a new venue space for both large and small events. These events would be serviced utilizing a flexible stage as well as the naturally graded lawn space. The construction of a lookout tower will create a major tourism draw in the region. Multiple comments received throughout this process have highlighted the importance of the unique landscape quality of the property, including its rolling hills and all of the scenic vistas that you have on some of the trails. The construction of this lookout tower would create an enhanced opportunity to view, interpret, and educate the public about some of the most unique landscapes in Ontario. This includes the topography of the Oak Ridges Moraine, the confluence of the Niagara Escarpment in Oak Ridges Moraine, and then south to the Toronto skyline in Lake Ontario. Other priorities include providing a biking area where riders would improve their skills development, as well as creating an area on the existing trails where technical features would then be located. The third component in the framework aims to improve the capacity for year-round activities. Albion Hills is TRCA's only four-season conservation area, and these activities would increase opportunities for winter recreation. Recommendations include providing a skating trail,
That's basically it. So happy to endorse it. Like I said, I've endorsed it at the region. I think you had great response from the region when you presented this, because I think it is important that these conservation areas, it's 52 years old, that we start looking at modernizing them and getting the full use out of it. And we've got a lot of mountain bikers. We've got a lot of people who run. We've got a whole lot of people who are physically active in the community. And if we can get them out there and get families together too, I think this is great. So thank you.
Councillor Boer.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm very excited about it for a lot of the same reasons Jennifer brought up, and just the fact that it's central in our ward and the spin-offs with the restaurants in the whole area. It's good just to bring traffic through and bring people in. Go back to the heyday of when there used to be a lineup of parked cars working to get in the morning and then a string of cars coming out. So we get back to that heyday. I guess my question more is going to be a process for the clerk, and that is a resolution endorsing this from Caledon. How do we go about that? Can we do that tonight, or
Thank you, through your worship, to Councillor DeBoer. I would recommend that at the next committee meeting, which is April the 18th, that you propose a notice of motion to do that.
Okay, and my thought is around the lines of maybe looking at partnerships, that there's certain services and certain things we've been talking around this table that we'd like to have in Caledon. I've always promoted the swimming pool as a Caledon asset here, and we're going to get another one eventually at Bolton Camp. Yes, it's on your property, but it really belongs to the taxpayers of Caledon, and we're fortunate to have it there in the middle of green space. So in here we have the band shell, I guess, for lack of a better term, it'd be band shell. And we talked about that, wanting something like that in Caledon for our arts community. Well, maybe that's an area to partner. I know Rob's been one to talk about, there's so many things that our community wants, but how do we end up affording it and finding partners? And a perfect example is the Equestrian Park. And I think that between the town and the region and EMG and you guys, we've got a pretty good little diamond there, I think, as far as bringing people within the community. And this one's just going to be down the road. And the number of people that camp there from the horse park in season. So I'll work with the clerk then to make sure that we have that there, and I think working with staff and the people we have involved here to try and come up with the partnerships that work, because there are a lot of things that we should be probably part of. So thank you very much for coming out.
Okay. Councillor Downey.
Thank you. I'll keep it short. My colleagues have really summed it all up. And I just want to commend you. This is a master plan. Like, this defines master plan. It's huge and it's amazing. And I wish you all the best of luck implementing it. I was actually at Queen's Park today for Conservation Ontario and had the opportunity to chat with Minister McGarry and as well as Minister McMahon. And I think that at this moment, the crossover of sport and tourism and conservation is there, and it's we're kind of at the tip of the iceberg, but they recognize it. So from my perspective, now is the time for all of us as members of council and members of the community to really push that with our provincial partners to make sure that we have the funding and the support from them as well. And I think that it's there. They know it. They see it. Our parks are full. They're jammed. I sit on the CBC as well, and we're seeing crazy numbers all across the board at all parks. And that's not unique to Caledon. It's all across Ontario. So keep up the good work. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Mizzipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I'll be brief. But fully support what you have here. This is a fantastic plan, and it shows that the amount of time it took to put together, it came out with all the fine details. It doesn't look like you left a stone unturned. One quick question, and I didn't go through the intimate details of the report, but on site, when you're talking about renovating the chalet or actually, virtually all the works, is it going to be implementing things like low-impact development, sustainability, that kind of thing? Is that going to be incorporated? I think it's very much in keeping with the site itself. Is it going to be incorporated and reflected in rolling out this master plan?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Thank you very much, and through you, Mr. Mayor. Absolutely, that will be our number one kind of goal and objective, is to make sure that everything we develop and redevelop is done sustainably and to the highest standard of kind of green technology.
Perfect. Thank you very much again.
Councillor Mizzipelli, TRCA was the first to have a LEEDS Platinum and a LEEDS Gold in Ontario with their projects, so I'm sure they'll follow the lead on that. Councillor McClure? Okay. All right. With all of that, thank you very much, and I think Councillor Downey is right. This is a master plan. Well done. Thank you so much for sharing. I will now call upon Karen Hutchison, Project Consultant for Headwaters Food and Farming Alliance, to approach the podium to provide a presentation concerning Headwaters Food Charter and Action Plan. And also with Albion Hills Farm, right?
Yeah. Nice little tie-in there. We do have community gardens there. It's actually the farm that runs the community gardens. Oh, I'm starting.
That's okay. So I'm sorry about that. Clark, she's tired.
Yeah, I know it's late, but I'm happy to talk to you about the community gardens at another time. You should have, did everybody get a food charter? They're just going out now. So I just am here tonight on behalf of Headwaters Food and Farm Alliance, and
you've probably seen me around this council table for the past 10 years talking about local food, and this is a really exciting initiative that's headwaters wide, and I think is exciting for us. We've actually been working on this for a number of years as Headwaters Food and Farm Alliance. Thanks. So I'm going to go through a few things tonight about the Headwaters Food and Farm Alliance. I hope that at this point you're all familiar with it and know a little bit about us. I'm going to talk about our food charter and the process that we went through and a bit about the municipal endorsement that we're asking for. So Headwaters Communities in Action is actually the home organization for HFFA, lots of acronyms here, Headwaters Food and Farm Alliance. We also work on trails programs, we work on a program in Dufferin called DC Moves, and we work on community well-being. So you probably see me wear a few different hats, but tonight, as I said, it's Headwaters Food and Farm Alliance. And Headwaters Food and Farm Alliance grew out of a lot of the local food work that was happening in the region. And a lot of different groups came together. And as you know, food and trails and economic development and tourism are sort of fluid across the region and come together as without boundaries, really. But what we talk about in Headwaters Food and Farm Alliance is the town of Caledon and the county of Dufferin. And obviously, we're talking about all those good things that the health and the local food, so it's economy, it's well-being, it's everything wrapped in together, tourism. And as I said, Dufferin County and Caledon for this food charter. And I should also say that we presented to POG, the regional council, a couple of weeks ago. And so we're going to be moving it through the regional process as well, and I'll be talking about that a bit more. Food charters are something that have become popular in North America in the past 20 years. It was probably over 20 years ago that the City of Toronto did their food charter. And really, it's about the community coming together and setting some values around food and endorsing something as a group to say, hey, this is what we believe in food. And it's about everybody owning the food system and having a part in it. And there are lots of food charters in Ontario. I know we haven't captured everything here, but the Headwaters Food Charter will stand with many others. Some communities like Thunder Bay have gone on to do an action strategy, which this actually we decided to do a food charter and an action plan together because we wanted to be proactive. Having started this work back in 2012 with our first food summit, and then another one in 2013, a policy report, lots of work. We wanted to take advantage of that and sort of leap ahead. And so there's a food charter, action strategy here, and then, as I said, other communities like Toronto, Thunder Bay, have gone on to implement those strategies. So I wanted to talk briefly about the food charter and for Peel Food Charter. Some of you may have heard of that. It's a concurrent and complementary process where, you know, I always say in Caledon we sit in such a funny spot. We look both north and south for our identity and what we're part of. And so the Peel Food Charter came out of the Peel Poverty Reduction Strategy. Our food charter is more probably rooted in the rural area and taking advantage of the local food opportunities. Well, keeping in mind a balance of other ideas. But the Peel Food Charter, I don't want to take away any of their thunder, but they're going to be launching this summer, so you're going to be hearing lots more about them and from them. But just so that you know that you're not choosing one or the other. It isn't that you have to choose the Headwaters Food Charter or the Peel Food Charter. They're both complementary. We've worked together, and we're excited that we can offer you two food charters to be a part of. So there's six areas of focus in the Headwaters Food Charter: agricultural sustainability, environmental sustainability, food access and equity, health and well-being, economic vitality, and culture and celebration. If you open up the charter, you can see You can see that it's been designed to go through the values, the goals, and then as you open it up all the way to the actions that we hope to undertake. We had quite a lengthy process, as I said, starting really this work, you know, maybe even I like to think leading back to Eat Local Caledon, the work that we did in starting in 2008, but formally in this process starting in 2012 with the food summits, going through to this process where we did stakeholder engagement. A year ago, we had a meeting here on a snowy day back last winter to help identify and clarify the priorities and the actions. We did public consultations last fall. And so now we have the food charter. So how can a municipality be involved in the food charter? As we said, it's a food charter for everybody, and we would like to see you, the town of Caledon and the county of Dufferin and the municipalities in Dufferin come on and endorse this charter. We expect that individuals and groups will be able to endorse the charter, but how does a food charter support some of the work that you do? In many ways, it will help to give you a focus. You can use it as a way to say, hey, you know, we're interested in food work. We're interested in building this as a core part of our municipality. As I said, there are a number of different ways. It's tourism. It's about food and farm businesses. It's about partnerships. It's about improving healthy food in the neighborhoods and the communities. It's about strengthening our policy framework. And it's about championing our food and culture and our agricultural heritage. So how does it fit in with our strategic plans? So, Region of Peel Strategic Plan, 20 years access to local nutritious food sources. So we need to have local in the local food sources. And Caledon's looking like a pretty good place to do that. Town of Caledon, protection of the rural environment, which is important as part of your council work plan. And the town is a partner in the Headwaters Food and Farming Alliance Food Charter, which was your part of your council work plan progress update last December. So very exciting that you have been involved, that we've had staff involved at Headwaters Food and Farm Alliance over the last 7 years. Sandra Dawson and Ben Robertson have been really key in helping to move this forward. And so what are our next steps? We want to increase the public awareness and buy-in of the food charter. We're going to prioritize actions, and we're looking to put together funding for a coordinator to move this work forward. And then tonight, and I know it's a process that you have to go through, won't happen tonight, but we would like to request that you work through the motion to endorse this food charter and work with us, continue to work with us in supporting the charter and supporting local food and food in Caledon. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Karen. Councilor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you, Ms. Hutchison, for your delegation. I just think, you know, similar to the previous delegation we had, you touch on so many important things. And when I look at the focus areas, of environmental sustainability, agricultural sustainability, well-being, economic vitality, you know, so many of the things that are important. And I like the fact that you also tied it in how this very much aligns with the region's vision, with our vision, our work plan. I think it's a natural fit. We've been partners this long, and I think that we are going to be shoulder to shoulder with you as a partner looking down the road. Just wondering, when I looked at the catchment area, Dufferin is a part as well. Have you approached them and delegated to them yet? And if so, what kind of response?
We're just going to be starting.
Okay.
Caledon's first.
I guess my last point would be, I think your request is a very fair one, and I'll look to the clerk, but I'm assuming I'll get a similar response as Councillor DeBoer. I would like to put a motion forward to endorse the Headwaters Food Charter. So I'm assuming it would be at committee? Okay. So just know that I'll be bringing that forward.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilor Groves.
Thank you, Karen, and thank you for your advocacy. You've been at this and promoting Eat Local and all that good stuff for years and years. You're with the Countryside Alliance.
Yeah, that's right.
So thank you for your dedication and your commitment to promoting the Eat Local and locally grown in Caledon and that and now this. So happy to support it. I think it's great. So when the motion does come forward, happy to endorse it. Now, giving an endorsement, does that have any financial commitment to it?
Not at this phase, but you know, we would look to you to make the step in terms of supporting the work more broadly, and that might be policy work, that might be financial in the future, but sort of one step at a time.
Right, and that, I guess, would be something that we can have that discussion later on as this moves forward.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Groves. Councillor McClure?
I'd like to second that motion of Councillor Mezzapelli. I'd like to endorse that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. There you go, Karen. I think you got full support of council.
Great.
So thank you very much for your delegation, and keep up the good work. And I know you've put a lot of timeless hours in. And I got to say, as someone that's very passionate, I got to say thank you for what you do, because you put a lot of time in that's pro bono. A lot of people just don't realize it takes a lot of sweat equity, and you give that at no charge. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you, and thank you for your continued support of food initiatives.
Yeah. And just so you know, the Region Appeal have two procurements that they buy their food through, and I think it's Gordon and it's Cisco that they through their long-term care and everything the Region Appeal do. It's, Councillor Downey will correct me on it, I think it's 30%, 32% and 36% is local food.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you add the dairy and the eggs in, it goes up to 50 for both. Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So through the, you know, Golden
Excellent.
Horseshoe. But I just want you to know that we're on it.
Yes, no, and that's great. It all helps. We all know that around this table, that it helps our economy and everything.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We're going to now move on to correspondence. Is there any correspondence regarding the package that anybody wants to identify? Councillor Groves?
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I'd like to pull number 3.
And which one
is
that?
It's a correspondence from Myra Budd, resident town of Caledon, Caledon East Development and Telecommunication Tower.
Okay. Well, and you want to comment or anything? It's just,
can I hear that now?
Yes, that's what it's
Great.
All about.
Thank you. So I guess this has sparked a lot of conversations in the community, and it's not just the Caledon East development issue, but it's also the cell tower. And I know there's been some discussion in the past on the cell tower on social media, as well as now the discussion on the Caledon East development plan. The secondary plan is quite old. It's 20 years old. There's been a lot of concerns, and people have a lot of questions, and a lot of changes has happened over the years with policies and different plans. So I'm putting a suggestion forward to satisfy the concerns from the residents and the questions they have, is that it's not my ward, but certainly maybe the councillors of the ward might want to think about, or just the town as a whole, might want to think about having a community meeting so that you can address all of these concerns coming from the community. I think it's important, because I don't think that they have a good understanding, and certainly, like I said, it's a plan that's so old that they need to understand. The community, I think, needs to understand. So I'm putting that out there. It's up to the councillors, and it's up to yourself, Alan, to just sort of educate the people, satisfy some of those concerns that they're raising, and also with the telecommunication cell tower as well. Because the last thing that we want out there is for folks not to have the right information. They need to have the right information so that they can understand what's happening. So I'm going to just leave that there. I don't know how you want to deal with it. I understand there is nothing on that is before us in terms of an application, but when that application comes forward, there is a full public process. But I think that before that happens, it's important that we address the concerns that these residents have, so, and through a community meeting.
Well, Councillor Groves, I think I'll let Councillor DeBoer, because I know he's been working hard on that over the last number of years. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I think staff have been replying, and they've, through the email strings that I've seen, I think staff's been addressing a number of the questions. I know I talked to Myra this afternoon. Can staff comment on where you are and your understanding of the string of emails that I've seen through?
Through Mayor Thompson to Councillor DeBoer. So staff did respond back to the residents on their concerns and provided a map and also some links to the town's website on the two issues. If council chooses, I can certainly circulate that to all of council. I've only sent it to the area councillors affected and some of the ones that were copied in the original email. So in regards to the cell phone or the cell tower, there is a proposal, but then there is no application that's come forward complete. They still have to bring forward a public information center, and that's up to the applicant to bring that forward. We had advised them that back in January and haven't heard anything back from the applicant. So, again, that's up to the applicant to bring that to the town, and then there'll be an information session. Similar to the development within Caledon East, when the application comes forward, there'll be that whole process. At this time, we've only had one preliminary meeting with the applicants on that end as well.
And as far as the development at the McLeod one, there's no application submitted yet, I don't believe.
That's correct. It's just one preliminary meeting. They came in to meet with staff on just various questions on how the process works. But there hasn't been any submission to the town yet.
Okay. And we've had, in fact, like the McLeod farm is actually the fourth large piece of land. We had, I think, at least four meetings for Across the Road because that was the first one, and staff were very helpful in continuing to have a number of meetings so that everybody could have a full understanding of that. I think we did this similar thing, but not as many meetings for over at Robert F. Hall and Walker's, and we'll be doing exactly the same thing, plus engaging our community liaison group that we have here in Caledon East as a smaller group once we get an application, once we see something. So we're still okay with doing that same process that we did with the other three applications.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor DeBoer, that's correct. It follows a full public process. We have to post it on our website. So as you see from the several applicants that we have right now, so Castles, Villas, their applications are all online, and all the information related to the application is online. So when this one comes on forward, then we'll do the same process.
Okay. And as far as people wanting the information and having an email to them, contacting, I guess, the planning department at this stage of the game and having their names recorded so that they can be added to a mailing list once an application comes forward, is that doable?
Through Mayor Thompson, for the telecommunications tower, you can do that now. For the other application, we haven't received anything, so there's nothing set up yet, but they can certainly contact myself or the planning manager, and we can certainly keep a record of it at this point.
Okay, and I fully intend to, once we have something to show the community, and my understanding is I think they're probably, with the amount of money they got invested, they're not going to wait very long on it, so I would imagine we're probably going to see something here in the very near future, and I think that was when I fully intended to be able to start to bring the community out and engage them so that they have an understanding of what the first project is or what the scope of the project is going to be as far as the McLeod farm. So I think that's pretty much what I've been telling everybody is once we have something we can look at, let's get together and let's have a discussion and so that everybody knows what's going on.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor DeBoer. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I was going to, Groves sort of took a little bit of my thunder, but I'm going to expand on what Annette Groves had to say. I think it's not just about the people on an email string. There's a whole group of people. There's like 4,200 people living in Caledon East right now that probably would like to be informed. And there's a councillor sitting right here, which
was never part of the original processes, and I'd truly like to be informed about where we started and how we got here and all the changes that have been impacted along the way. Something like I said with Mayfield Phase 2, where there were so many questions, and I was looking for a workshop to educate council at the same time educating those who would like to come and sit and listen. And I think where Councillor Groves was going with some sort of PIM or something that's not under the Planning Act but a volunteer one, maybe it needs to be a workshop so all of us can get up to speed, because I tell you the truth, I wasn't comfortable when those first two applications came forward that I didn't have enough information on them. And I did spend the weekend reading the secondary plan, and I think it would be beneficial not just to the residents but to council, knowing that we're moving forward with different aspects, that we actually go back a little bit, start, and move us all through that process. So I'm going to suggest that maybe a workshop would be a great idea to educate council member and the community, not just the handful of people on a that's only getting them. I'm sure that for every one of them, there's another 20 or 30 people who would be interested to know what their community is going to look like in the future. And I think that might be a good thing. And communication is the key, because people, when we don't communicate with them, they start suspecting. And they start worrying that they're not getting the information. So let's jump ahead. We've heard them. They're nervous. They're upset. Let's look at putting something on the table that we can all learn from. So that would be my suggestion, and I don't know whether, Mr. Mayor, whether that needs to be a direction to council or a motion on the 18th, or I'm looking for some guidance to understand what is feasible.
Let me go back, and we'll see what we can come up with a recommendation, and I hear you loud and clear, and I know Councillor Gross is back on, but I will tell you, I do recall, and I think it's about 20 years ago when this was completed with the vision for Caledon East. Out of that showed with community engagement, and at that point I was just a community volunteer. I was not involved with the Caledon East, but I was involved with the Charettes for Mayfield West. And we followed with that in about 99-2000. Went through that exercise, and at that point I think I was one of the reps for the Peel Federation of Agriculture at the time. But we went through that exercise down there with what we learned from Caledon East. And you know, it's a lengthy exercise, but you're right. A lot of things evolve and change over time. You know, it's now 2017. That is one of the reasons why we have the White Belt Vision exercise, especially trying to protect our employment areas, because 20% of or 80% of Caledon's protected. You can put the city of Toronto in our green belt. That's just how big a green belt area that we have. So this was always in the plan. The green belt came around the urban boundary, so it came around those parts of Caledon East. But yes, we have new public moving in real quick. So I'm going to we're close to announcements. So if council will cut me some slack here, I'll just explain a little bit on how we got there. But that's why we're doing the vision exercise, to make sure we have enough employment to keep our green belt sustainable, so that we get it that people can't afford to live here. And that's what we have to do, because the residential, it'll fit anywhere. But the employment is key, and there's only key areas that's going to fit, that it's going to be profitable. And, you know, it's like the old saying, you look after the nickels and dimes, the dollars look after themselves. The nickels and dimes are your employment sector. And through the provincial policy statement, they allow us to plan and protect our employment area. So that's what the visioning exercise is. And I do know we have a meeting coming up here at CCS here, or at the Caledon Community Center here. And I encourage everybody to come up and be a part of that. And that's how Caledon East came about. So we've been following that example all the way along. But you're right, there's a lot of people that haven't been engaged, you know, that have new, that come, didn't know what the part was. I do know Wayne Noble, that's out here in the crowd tonight, was part of that original part from 20 years back. But I know a lot of community people put a lot of work into Caledon East, and that was the start of how Caledon's been planning their own communities, and not, you know, not led by development, but we know that, we acknowledge that if it's going to happen, this is the terms and what we're expecting out of it. So, leave it with me. I'll talk to the CEO, and we'll strategize to see where we can go and I'll probably be reaching out to council, and we'll come back with something that'll be proposed for committee.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think Caldenisa would appreciate it, and I know as a councillor I'd appreciate it, so thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Councillor Shaughnessy. Councillor Groves?
Thank you, Alan. Mayor Thompson, I think that's a good idea to do that. I know when we were doing the chateau across the street, we had a lot of concerns from the community, and they came out. We worked with them to answer the questions they have, to address the concerns they had, and I think that it went a long way, because part of the problem is that people don't know. They don't understand what's involved, process, and where things are at. So providing them the information, I think it's key. I don't know that we need to wait for an application to come forward. I think that we should be addressing it. I know, Mayor Thompson, you do your town halls and that, and that's sort of a venue as well, but I think it would be to the folks who live in Caledon East, because you do have a lot of people. You've got a whole bunch of new people across the road and more new people coming in and new people that have moved in over the years. So while we've gone through it many years ago, we maybe just need a refresher, including myself as a councillor. I think I need a little refresher on it as well. So I just have a quick question. Who's the applicant for the cell tower? I can't remember who that is, and who's the applicant for the Caledon East development?
Through Mayor Thompson, so the cell tower is Bell Canada.
Bell, okay.
And for the McLeod Farm is DG Group.
The DG, okay, great, thank you.
Just to clarify, Councillor Groves, going forward, I think it was Councillor DeBoer and I know, I think when the McLeod application comes forward, we're going to need community engagement. I think we've been waiting for that because there's a huge opportunity to acquire quite a bit of land for the town of Caledon, not just give it to conservation right off the bat. I think we have huge opportunities to build trailway connections to the Royal Ambassador around Innis Lake. There is some huge opportunities coming forward. So there's some of it that we can't jump the gun. We kind of have to wait for the application. Also, at the back of the complex, there's a huge, beautiful hill that slopes down towards this campus here. There'll be a beautiful amphitheater for future Caledon Day concerts and different things, very similar to what you have at Ontario Place. We have a unique opportunity, but I think the challenge is, and I think this is where Councillor DeBoer is, we can't really jump the gun. We kind of need that application to get there. Then the community can get engaged, because there's so much that isn't going to be built on that's going to be a huge asset to Caledon East and to the community. You think you got neat trails now. I think it's going to be totally awesome when we get this built out. So I really think we'll give, I think it's good to educate the people how we're going to get there, but maybe we'll also show what the next steps are and what to expect as the applications come forward.
Right, and I think that's all important, because we did the same with the Bolton camp.
Yep.
We had the same issue. We had a whole lot of people in the area that were concerned about the development there, but we worked with the community. We held meetings with them, several meetings with them, to talk about that property, how it's going to be developed, and a whole bunch of it, well, 200 acres plus, was given to the conservation, which they're now doing, the Bolton Camp project, revitalization project, which is a great project. So I think that that's the sort of stuff that the community is looking for. So just to keep it on the, not to sort of
okay,
forget about it, but just to keep it there so that people have the right information, assumptions are not made, because that's what happens. Assumptions are made, it goes out on social media, and everything goes gangbusters, right? So we just want to make sure we're above board, things are transparent, and that the public has the right information. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, there's nothing to be hidden here, but I think it's a step process, but I think we can explain that to the public, and I think Myra is very good on social media that will help echo that back. So leave that with us to see where we go. Councillor Downey?
Thank you. Through you, Mayor Thompson, just a couple of comments. Over the last couple of years, as I'm obviously new to this role, I always find it humorous, and I joke with Councillor DeBoer and Councillor Innes that Caledon East does not have a ratepayers association. And I find this humorous because every hamlet in Ward 2 has a ratepayers association. So on a monthly or bi-monthly or quarterly basis, I'm going to multiple ratepayers meetings, community groups, and organizations. So like every single one, Valleywood, Anthem, Southfields, Terracotta, Cheltenham, they all have residence groups. And Caledon East does not. So I find that a little bit interesting. And if Caledon East were to organize themselves in that manner from the residents' perspective, they may find that within that you have a conduit to reach out to your council members and get kind of current information and have open discussions, and those meetings are there for community members to come to and participate at. Because I will say that the staff in this building do a fantastic job of putting the information out. It is always available on our website. If there is an application, I just pulled up the website right now. Go to the development page. All applications that are current are there. The history of them is there. Any report or anything that is related to that application is on our website, and it is there for the residents. The staff are there to provide you those answers when you need them, as well as your council members. So I think that as much as, you know, we as council can put the information out there, there is a level of due diligence on the residents' part to look for that information as well and educate themselves. And if they so see fit to organize themselves in a residence group, then I think it benefits the community to pull yourselves together and get involved. So that's it for me. Thanks.
Okay. Councillor DeBoer.
Well, actually, through all of these developments and things that are happening in Caledon East, we did have a residence group that kind of advised us on the projects. One of the members that had been on it all along is sitting in the back corner. We brought that group together and we had something to show across the road, and I know that it took a long time to get to where we had something we thought was any good. We brought that group together when we had an application in McKee on a subdivision in there. We did the same thing, and we will do the same thing in this when the next one comes and there's an application. We also have CERC, the Caledon East Revitalization Committee, that's very active within the downtown core with something focused in that they're looking at the beautification of the downtown core and actually Old Church Road. So we do have a very engaged community. I think that's some of the neat things about Caledon East, and that's also one of the interesting things with Myra and having the conversations with her in bringing up this information. I think some people, I'm not speaking about her, but there are some people who like to make things a little bit more than they are. This application is going to come forward. Once it comes forward, I fully intend to engage the community. And in fact, Richard and I hosted, I believe, at least 4 public information meetings with regard to the application across the road prior to the actual requirement of the official public meeting, the statute public meeting, because that was the first application within Caledon East, and it sat for a long time. Once the secondary plan was completed, it sat for a long time before anything happened. So we did spend a lot of time engaged with a number of the people, and I fully intend to engage when this development comes through, because this is the last large one. But as the mayor said, I think the potential for completing the community with this application is the neat thing. And it's going to be very interesting how we're going to actually transition up Airport Road, include this within the community, and what it's going to look like from a streetscape coming in, knowing that there's a state residential and a school across the road. Installing, for example, traffic lights and looking at traffic calming on Airport Road with this development. There's a lot of good things that can happen with this, and I fully intend and have been engaged with a number of the residents within Caledon East on this. Now, Councillor Innes will not be involved, and I think Alan's going to help me work through this whole project. So, but personally, I'm very excited about the opportunities in talking to staff and what they've heard and what's been going on as to what's going to happen. And, you know, we will be engaging the community. I do think, having gone through this a number of times before, we need to have actually something to look at and something to present. And I'm sure that when staff have an application, that one of the things that I'm going to ask them is to speak to the applicant, that we have a public information meeting early on, not the official one, but a public information meeting early on so that we can present it to the community. A, to drum up some interest, but B, to also ensure that we've got the mix of what the community wants to try and complete the form and the built form that we have here. So to say that they're not engaged as a community, they are very engaged.
I didn't say that. I just said there's no group.
There is a group. We got a number of groups. So and the reality is this is going to be good. And we will have an open and public forum, and we will have many meetings to have discussions around what this is, because I am kind of looking forward to it, and this is it's going to be a little bit different because it's a different developer that we're working with in this case. And I believe, though, the Bolton one, he did have something, because he had about three or four renditions of different options to actually present to the neighbors and say, look, this is what we're looking at, and a lot of them, they didn't like it. And this is the same scenario, but we need to have something to look at to start the discussion, because if we don't have something to look at, there isn't any way to kind of have controlled dialogue on what the focus of the project is. Even to do things to improve the situation around the plaza on the South Hill and Caledon East. Mm-hmm. So to say that there hasn't been engagement, there has been. I'm not talking to you. And I look forward to staff, and I know that staff are looking forward to working on this. So I think I want to conclude it at that, and we will be involving the public.
Okay. Is there any other correspondence that anybody wants pulled? If there's no further correspondence, I'm now going to move on to announcements. Someone get Councillor Innes, I guess. Okay, is there any announcements on this side of the table?
No, just the
Joanna's map. Okay, any announcements over here? Councilor Missipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I'll be quick. Saturday, April 8th at 7 p.m. at the Albion Bolton Community Center. Ice rink, there'll be a charity hockey game hosted by We Are Creative, Bolton Company. To raise money and awareness for cervical cancer. It's Girls Against the Guys, and you can go to www.faceofftofight.ca for tickets. Second is Saturday, April 22nd at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the CCRW. The mayor and Ward 5 councillors will be hosting Coffee with Council. I encourage the public to come out and engage with your local councillors and the mayor. Thirdly, but not last, at least, is on Thursday, April the 20th. I think Mayor Thompson alluded to this at 6:30, starting at 7. 6:30 is the open house till 9 at the Caledon Community Complex, the White Belt Visioning Exercise. This is an incredibly important study that the town is doing that will lay the footprint and the blueprint, I should say, for what our future will look like. And so I encourage everybody to come out and participate in the White Belt Visioning Exercise Thursday, April 20th at CCC, 6:30 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Missipelli. You just saved me a job there. Councillor Innes, do you have anything? Okay. Before I go to inquiries, there's one I want to note, is that April 2nd is hereby proclaimed World Autism Awareness Day. The autism flag has been raised today at Town Hall to create awareness for Worldwide Autism Day. I would also like to note that April 24th hereby proclaim Human Values Day, and April 28th is here to proclaimed Day of Mourning. And those were all posted outside here. All right, now I'll move to council inquiries, starting with the acting mayor, Councillor Innes. Okay, Councillor McClure, do you have anything? Okay, Councillor Missipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I know it's been a late night, so I won't be any longer than I need to. Two that have been near and dear to me. One is a question on how we deal with engineering design standards within the town. Increasingly, our communities are becoming smaller and tighter, narrower boulevards, and yet we still need to put all the infrastructure that we need, including street lights, Bell, Rogers boxes, transformers, those type of things. I'm seeing over and over again in the community ways that we can make that fit better in those tighter spaces. There are light standards that have Bell, Rogers inside the base of the light standard. There's anti-graffiti utilities such as Canada Post boxes, hydro boxes. I'm just wondering, how do we get this? There's a lot of growth that is we're on the verge of receiving, and I would just hate to see opportunities lost where we can implement some of this really neat design. And I'm looking for guidance and advice on how we can make sure we don't miss an opportunity.
Mr. Wong, I'm going to, you know, these new boxes that have come out that he's talking about is one standard, and I think it cleans up the community. Is it? What do you suggest that we do on this?
Through Mayor Thompson, we are finalizing our engineering design standards, and it's right now in a draft form that's being circulated or has been circulated to community services and my department for review and comment. So once it is complete, what we'll do is we, on this point in particular, we will circulate that to okay. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Secondly, the Bolton Fire Station is being built as we speak. Everyone is probably aware. A part of that is a very large, long retaining wall. And every time I drive past it, I know they're going to backfill it and grade it and whatnot. And I just see an opportunity to have maybe engage with the local high schools, other arts-oriented groups, and maybe consider a mural on that. And I don't know, again, the best way to approach that. I think we need to engage with those groups, the fire department. But I just see that as an opportunity to put a really nice feature there. And so, again, I'll ask, is what would be the best way for me to pursue that?
Ms. Tollett? Mr. Wong?
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. What I'll do is I will talk to the project manager to see if that can be incorporated, and if there is an additional cost that goes beyond what we have budget for, then we will seek council direction.
Yeah, but I think where Councillor Mazzapelli, Mr. Wong is saying is, I think we can get the high schools to do it for free.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of creativity there.
Similar to the skateboard park, things like that. So,
yeah, Councillor Groves has got a paint crew.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I'll look for follow-up on those. Thanks.
Perfect. Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy, do you have any inquiries? Okay. Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer, Councillor Groves.
Oops, wrong light. Okay, thank you. One of the residents sitting back there, because I think she lives very close to where the cell tower is being proposed, and she did have a question. This is why public question period is so important, but anyway. I think she needed some information on with respect to the location of the cell tower. Is that correct?
Through Mayor Thompson, the cell tower's proposed cell tower is located in the old OPP station or where the fire admin building is in between there and the CCC.
Okay. So can I ask that you might email Ms. Tollett if you have any further questions on the cell tower with respect to location, timelines, any questions that you have or concerns, if you can maybe just send her an email and she'll be able to address them for you. Is that okay? Ms. Tollett, that's good? Yep. Okay, thank you.
And your local counselor should be able to help you out on that. Okay. Councillor Shaughnessy, did you? Oh, sorry, yeah.
Sorry, it was just a follow-up on Councillor Groves and the cell tower. I mean, from an artistic point of view, there are many creative ways to make cell towers disappear, from being trees to being clock towers to be many different things. Do we have anything as far as when somebody wants a cell tower that we actually ask for a specification to something other than a straight-up god-awful metal thing that goes up and looks like heck and stands out like a sore thumb? Do we have any criteria surrounding making sure that we get something that looks a little bit better?
Where I'm going to jump in here real quick is in the past we do have some that look fairly attractive. We even have a flagpole. I think what we have to do is we have to wait for the applicant to make a presentation, and that's where that dialogue takes place, and that's when it happens. Until there's an application, you know, it's just hearsay at this point.
Can we make that a requirement, Mr. Mayor? Like, I don't know. I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and a cell tower goes up, and they could have actually made it look like a tree and made it disappear, but they stick up some awful metal-looking thing. So I'm just saying, especially within the boundaries of a community, you would think that we should be able to do something a little more creative. Sorry, the artsy side of me just came
up. Yeah, no, I think Ms. Tollett will take it, but we do have criteria, and the town has set that, so...
Through Mayor Thomas, I'll take it back to staff and ask them. I'm not sure if there's a set criteria for cell towers, but we can certainly look at it.
Yeah, we've definitely had input on.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. No further, or I'm now going to go to bylaws. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor DeBoer, that the following bylaws be read the first time and finally passed. Bylaw 2017-13, bylaw to establish 2017 tax ratios prescribed for property classes. Bylaw 2017-14, bylaw to authorize the filing complaints of the Assessment Review Board of the 2017 taxation year. 2017-15, bylaw to amend the bylaw 2007-128, being the bylaw to appoint employee of the Town of Caledon to statutory positions. 2017-16, bylaw to amend a bylaw 2015-058, being the bylaw to regulate the use of highways and parking on highways to repeal certain bylaws. 2017-17, bylaw to amend the comprehensive zoning bylaw 2006-50, as amended with respect of part of the west half of lot 25, concession 9 Albion, being part 1 of 43R35670, Town of Caledon Regional Municipality of Peel, Flatto, Palgraves Mansions Incorporated. Bylaw 2017-18, bylaw to designate the property known as 89 Walker Road West property as being a cultural heritage value of interest. 2017-19, bylaw to exempt certain lands as part lot control, namely Zero Waterville Way, legally described as Block 97 and 98, and Plant 43M-1801. Bylaw 217-20, bylaw to exempt certain lands as part lot control, named O'Mara Avenue, legally described in Blocks 23, 24, 25, 26, on Plan 43M-2026. Bylaw 2017-21, bylaw to exempt certain lands as part lot control, namely 0 True Blue Crescent and 0 Mora Avenue, legally described in Blocks 32 and 38 of 43M of 2026. And those are all the bylaws I have. All in favor? Oh, hold on. Councillor Groves?
Thank you. Just, I'm not sure if this is a typo or not. So bylaw 2017-20, we got 0 Mara, and then 21, we've got 0 Mora. So is it Mora? Is it Mara and Mora, or is it?
Yeah, it's Mara and Mora. I caught that before. It's your thanks for catching it, but yeah, it's two different ones.
Okay, great. Just want to make sure. Thank you.
It is. Thank you, Councillor Groves, for. Being on that. Okay, no further questions. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Misapelli, second by Councillor McClure, that the following bylaw be read the first time and finally passed. Bylaw 2017-22. Bylaw to confirm the proceedings of the council meeting of the Corporation and Town of Caledon in this meeting, council meeting held on the fourth day of April 2017. All in favor? Carried. Councillor McClure, you want to move adjournment? Okay. Second by Councillor Misapelli. Thank you, everybody.